When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby, wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with 5 Y's. Movies, Baby!
Ladies and gentlemen, the best show is now underway. My name? Well, it's me. You know my name. Tom! How's everybody doing? Can you hear me? How's it sound, Mike? Does it sound good enough for me to have Gail Bennington in studio? Does it sound good enough for the topic to be The Great Unburdening, in which you, the best show listener, you call up and you get it off your chest. You've been carrying it your whole life. You just... Now you will be free as of tonight. You say it. We move on, and then you're unburdened. The Great Unburdening, tonight, on The Best Show.
Right? It's the best show here on a very wet Tuesday evening in the New Jersey area. What's going on, everybody? My name's Tom, the host of tonight's episode, and we have an exciting show planned for you. We've got radio superstar Gail Bannington will be here. We got the topic is the great unburdening. Now, what is that? Well, I'm going to tell you what it is. I told you, just listen. I'm going to tell you. Will you stop rushing me? For goodness sake, you know I'll tell you. Why do you suddenly think I'm not going to tell you what the topic is? Ugh. Why are we fighting like this? Huh? What happened to us? Right, Mike? Not you. I don't fight with you. I'm scared of you. Well, I mean, not scared, but, you know. Never know. It's kind of like you're the I'm not going to do this A-Team thing again. It took a half hour to figure out which member of the A-Team was the crazy one last week. I can see that movie Split. Right? Split. Did that dude win an Oscar yet? Or get nominated? Did the dude from Split get nominated for an Oscar today? And the nominees were not read by famous people, right? It was like robots did it. Very prescient, based on what we talked about last week. I heard a drone read them. Do you want to play a game? The nominee for Best Wardrobe. Best Wardrobe? Is that even a thing? Best Wardrobe is Suicide Squad. Do you want to the nominee for Best Actor in a Motion Picture is the dude from Split. 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 Oh my god, he got all the slots! Is something wrong with that Academy Award robot? The nominee for Best Actress in a Motion Picture. The dude from Split. The dude from Split.
This guy's gonna win all the awards.
The dude from Split.
Why, oh why? How did we get to this post? So where was I? What I was saying was, I don't know how we got to where we got. Me and you. I used to tell you what the topic was, and now you're all getting all pushy. Makes me kind of think of that song. You know that song, Mike. Remember the one, This Time? Remember Richard Harris? The great Richard, the late great Richard Harris.
This time we almost made the pieces fit. Didn't we, girl? This time we almost made some sense of it. Didn't we, girl? This time I held the pieces right there in my hand. But when I touched it, it had turned to sand.
Now, for people, Richard Harris was an actor. And for some reason, he recorded this album that Jimmy Webb wrote all the songs for. It's one of the most insane albums ever. A Tramp Shining. Do you know that album, Mike? It's one of the best albums you'll ever hear. Guess I don't have it on my computer. Starts off, the first thing. It's got MacArthur Park on it. You know MacArthur Park, right, Mike?
Spring was never waiting for us, girl. It ran one step ahead as we followed in the dance.
Why can't someone write me a bunch of songs and I'll sing them and I'll be the least talented person on the whole thing like he was on that record? He was the weak link. I mean, I know I've talked about this in the past, and I talk about it because I'm still not getting to the bottom of it. Why won't someone write me an album? I sing all the songs on it, and I'm by far the least talented person working on this. There's like classical musicians working on that thing, Jimmy Webb. And then this guy who can barely sing gets in there, and suddenly he's like,
"Here I am, a tramp shining, a brand new clown."
Someone's got to do that for me. Please write me a whole album of songs to sing about stuff. No? No one? Looking at Twitter. Thanks for the Richard Harris shout out. Shout out? What are you, Richard Harris? Not shouting you out. He's dead. He died before Twitter started. Isn't that a thing you think about what people who died before things happened, right? Like, I think George Harrison died before 9/11, so he didn't know that happened. He missed out. David Bowie had no idea who became president, right? He had no idea. He don't know. Yeah. Glenn Frey don't know. Think of all the great songs we could have gotten from Glenn Frey. He could have written his next Grow Up or whatever that one song was. You know, he probably would have written a song and it would have had the lyric Big Boy Pants in it. Right? What was that song? Get Over It. It was a rocker. With an asterisk next to rocker because it wasn't rock music, really. It was the Eagles. They're not rock. They're just the Eagles. Well, what did we hear, my friends? We heard Kurt Vile from a split 12-inch that he shares with the equally amazing Steve Gunn. Came out on Three Lobed Recordings, one of my favorite labels, over at threelobed.com. And what's the name of that song? Do you know the name of that song, Mike? Red Apples for Tom Sharpling. I did it. I got my name in a song. Kurt Vile wrote a song for me. He gets it. You don't. That's the best show slogan for 2017. We get it. They don't. Based on when I was on the boardwalk wearing my King Crimson t-shirt and a guy outside the, it's all outside. Everything's outside. It wasn't outside anything. Everything's outside everything there. A guy, we were at the ice cream stand. You know that ice cream stand on the boardwalk? That one ice cream stand? Now, every third place is an ice cream stand. So I was at one of them and I'm wearing my shirt and the guy goes, "King Crimson." Like, yeah, we get it. They don't. And he pointed at everyone else was they. It's like, gotcha. Right back at you, bro. We get it. They don't. And then he ordered a swirl. Vanilla chocolate swirl. Not me, man. Well, actually, I think I did too. He didn't get sprinkles on his. So, starting us off, Kate LeBon. Great song from Kate's album, which came out a year and change ago. And it is called Crab Day. And we heard the title track of Crab Day on Drag City. Crab Day. That's good. I like Kate LeBon. Reminds me of Red Crayola. So, Before anything, I want to tell everybody listening. There's a friend of ours here on the show, Dan McNamara. And he's recovering from a liver transplant. And his donor, Rich Bradley, is also recovering from donating his liver for it. So congratulations and best health and wishes to both of them, Dan McNamara and Rich Bradley, two longtime listeners, both recuperating. You know what I'm going to do, Mike? I'm going to invite them both in. What are you thinking about that? Right? Pat? Think that's a good idea? These guys don't hate each other. Right? I'll invite them both in. Well, I think if they're not getting along, I would certainly hope that Dan McNamara would do everything to smooth them not getting, like, I think he's, like, in their future relationship, he's kind of got to let a couple things go. You know what I mean? If Rich is irking him, he's kind of got to be like, I don't know, he's really bugging me. He's just like, we were doing that one thing. I started talking, and he just changed the subject. It's like, you're going to have to say to yourself, he did give me a liver, so I'm going to have to maybe let him slide on the cutting me off thing. Does that sound like him? So he sounds like, what's his face from MASH? What's that guy's name? He always played the British guy. On MASH. Well, he always played it. Everybody always played their characters on it. But he was the British guy. And then, like, but in real life, he overemphasized that he's not British. He would talk like David Ogden Steers. On MASH, he did his British accent. But in real life, he would be, well, I want to tell you all, it's me, David Ogden. It's like, all right, we get it. You're not British in real life. Calm down. Take your MASH money and calm down. Oh, I need MASH money. That's what I need. Where's my MASH? I ain't got no MASH. See everybody with their money. Mike's got all this masses money. This guy's got more money than God with this these masses shirts he sells. Over at apmike.bandcamp.com. He sells these masses shirts. Masses Tavern, the bar that he tends a bar at every. Are you there more?
Maybe shortly.
Shortly, he'll be there more frequently. But the schedule's in flux. So, newsflash. The schedule's in flux. But Mike has these Masses shirts he sells for this bar. It's called a tavern. Masses Tavern. So you go to apmike.bandcamp.com. Look, apmike.bandcamp.com. God knows how much money this guy's making off these things. He's got a walking stick now that has a gem at the end of it. Now, it's very flashy. He's flashing his wait. Best Show 24/7 is your MASH. No, it's not. We lose money on that thing. How's that MASH? It's not like, what's-his-face paid in. Alan Alda didn't pay in to be on MASH.
No, I guess they got to kick in that.
Like, no, he didn't throw in. They threw him money. Where's my MASH? Someone give me my MASH. AP Mike's got his MASH. It's these massive shirts. He's flush. Him and his walking stick. You can donate to support The Best Show over at patreon.com. That is what we do now. No more ads on the show. You go to patreon.com/thebestshow and you give whatever you can on a monthly basis or a one-time basis. And we have different things we're going to give out to people who support the show for different levels. Yeah. people are being very generous and doing everything they can, and we appreciate it immensely. So thank you so much. Got to keep it going. Who's good here, Mike? Line three. Your idea good? My idea of good. Well, this should be interesting. Best show.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Paige from Los Angeles.
Where are you calling from? What are you, woodworking?
No, I'm walking to my apartment.
Now, who is this now?
Is this a sound bad?
D-H?
Paige from Los Angeles.
Paige?
Like in a book.
How are you, Paige?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm all right. I thought I heard hammering in the background. That's why I was asking.
No. Sorry.
So what's going on, Paige?
I got something for the topic.
The topic being the great unburdening. Why, do you want to unburden something? Is there something that's hanging on your head?
I would love to.
Because look.
Yeah.
We get people, we all carry these things, these little things, these big things. Where you said something dumb, maybe, or you did something stupid, and it just stays with you maybe longer than it should. Not even longer than it should. It just stays with you. And you carry it, and you don't tell anybody about it. Tonight, it is your chance to unburden yourself.
Thank you.
What do you have, Paige?
I realized about 2 months ago that back in September, I had accidentally called Kim Gordon old to her face.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a bad one.
Yeah, I was at a Dinosaur Jr. concert mm-hmm. outside waiting for my Uber, and mm-hmm. I see a girl there with her mom, and I'm like, oh, that's so awesome. You're here with your mom. And I'm really horrible at recognizing famous people out in public. It just goes over my head. And somehow it was brought up that her mom is in her 60s. And the daughter looked about my age and in her early 20s. And I meant this as a complete compliment because my parents are the same age as her and they are super awesome. I go, that's so awesome. My parents are old too. Not that like a good way, you know, like they're in their 60s, but they act like they're young.
Yeah, you blew it.
And
you blew it.
I didn't realize it's Kim Gordon. She looks at me and just goes, I'm not old. And then they leave and didn't think about it. And then all of a sudden I'm laying in bed one night and I just go, oh my God, I called Kim Gordon. That was Kim Gordon.
No, you blew it, Paige. You blew it. You had a chance to say something to one of the all-time coolest people and you blew it.
Yes. I feel a relief.
When does it hit you? When does it hit you?
Myself.
When does it hit you? At 4 a.m? You'll suddenly think about it. You'll go,
yeah.
Oh, no.
Well, I realized it just like as I was getting in bed, and I think about it every so often. Whenever I listen to Sonic Youth, it's just like, oh, well, that happened.
Yeah.
You know.
Describe the feeling. Do your hands feel larger
my
than they are?
My stomach just turns. My stomach turns, and my face gets hot.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's just this pure embarrassment of I can't believe I made a really awesome person feel bad.
Well, I got to tell you, Paige, you said something wrong. You got it off your chest. And now I give you permission to move forward from
Thank
that.
You.
Paige, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. You are. You know that song? You know that song?
I don't.
It's called A Quick One While He's Away by The Who.
Check it out.
You should. Yeah, check that one out. You might like it.
I will.
Not the studio version. The studio version kind of sucks. It's kind of the secret shame of the Who catalog is how bad the studio version of that song is. But the live version is one of the greatest things you'll ever hear. You know when they did it? They did it on this thing called Rock and Roll Circus, right, where they're playing this TV thing, and the Rolling Stones put this thing together, Rock and Roll Circus. And then the Who come out, and they do this thing
this live version of a quick one, and they made it so rockin' that the Rolling Stones bury this special forever. Like, for decades they buried it. Because they got blown off the stage on their own special.
Made it look bad.
Yeah, they did, but that's what, look, that's what we do here every week on The Best Show. We make the pros look bad. Right?
True.
There's people making so much money out there. I hear these shows. There's this a Chapo Chop House, whatever it is. It's like a steak-based thing or something. I don't know what it is. Never heard 2 seconds of it. I'm sure they're the nicest guys on the planet. But it's like a chop. It's like, because a chop house, it's like steaks and chops and seafood, right? That's what you call? Okay.
Yeah.
That's what that is. More power to them. There, it's another food podcast, because you got the Hamburger Men, which is one thing where these guys talk about tartar sauce for 2.5 hours every episode. They talk about the McDonald's Filet-O-Fish sandwich.
I have too many food podcasts, but there's only one Best Show.
Thank you, Paige. You have a grand evening.
Thank you.
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate. Available now.
I got Mike's like, maybe your idea good. Well, I was not good about that. That wasn't a good call? Sorry, Mike. Okay, that's what we got. Get that queued up. Do it all. Do it all live on this thing. Cue it up, play it, talk it. Do everything on this. It's like that Bill Bib DeVoe song. Remember that song? It was like, smack it up, flip it up, rub. Wasn't that? Oh, no. That's what I'm doing here. Cue it up. Cue it up. Talk it up. Take a call. Oh, no. 201-332-3484. Best Show.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. To whom am I speaking?
This is Matt. I'm up in Buffalo.
Matt in Buffalo. Buffalo, the home of the garbage plate.
Oh, that's Rochester.
Rochester. Buffalo, home of the Buffalo wing, right?
Well, they got the wings. Yep. Oh, yeah.
How many Buffalo wings have you eaten in one sitting, Matt?
Probably like 35.
Okay, that's disgusting.
Yeah, it was one I was younger, either.
Did you have a ring of sauce around your face?
Oh, yeah. Pretty much. Cleaned up at the end.
So you clean? Okay, yeah, I'd hope you clean.
No, I mean, while I was doing it, I'm all sauced up. Walking then
around.
I cleaned up, yeah.
You were all sauced up. Is that like a point of pride up there where you walk around with your sauce ring?
Right in your mouth? In some cases, yeah.
That weird colored buffalo wing sauce, that light red.
Not quite orange.
Not quite orange. Yeah.
I had a friend, he could put in, you know, the smaller part, you know, they have two kinds of wings. My buddy, he would get the smaller ones, put the whole thing in his mouth, pull it out, just bone.
There you go.
There you go, man.
Representing your city proudly.
Thank you.
So what's up, Matt?
So we've been getting, well, I've really enjoyed your audio collages, I must say. And I've turned on a lot of my friends who don't know about the show, but they're big fans of those.
So you put the audio, let me guess what you and your friends do up there.
Okay.
You sit down. You got some wings.
Yeah.
You got some of that blue cheese. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Then you got a little bit of, you know, right? A little bit of God's
cream. Oh, okay, I'm not saying anything.
A little bit of God's green. You don't have to say it.
God's green.
A little bit of God's green herb.
Oh, yeah.
Then you guys start puffing tough, listening to a Best Show sound collage, right?
Hey, you know, get on the right track.
Yeah, no, I know I am. What, do you think I couldn't figure that out? You sound like a young Fredericks.
Oh, I love that guy, Fredericks, man.
Fredericks was call more, but he doesn't call as much anymore. He's a guy from Newport Richey, Florida. Great guy.
No, I love that guy. He has his own cast.
I know you know who he is. I'm talking to the audience now.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, you're the kind of guy who told. I tell you, I saw this thing. Let me tell you, I saw this thing, Oh Hello, right? Do you know the show, Oh Hello? And of course, you're up in Buffalo.
No, I don't.
You're up in Buffalo. You're probably waiting for the Fantastics to roll through, right?
Sure, yeah.
Right, you got it circled on the calendar when Jersey Boys is coming. Local production of Jersey Boys. Walk.
Local stage production.
So, I'm seeing this thing, and I saw this show four times over the course of a year. Saw it when it was off-Broadway, downtown a year ago. I saw it in Los Angeles, and I saw it two times on Broadway. It was this thing with Nick Kroll and John Mulaney. Do you know who they are?
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's the funniest thing I ever saw. Funniest thing. It's as funny as anything ever. These guys planted a flag in the history of comedy with that thing. That will
if
never
they have it already, you know?
No, they already did.
Oh, I meant before this. I haven't seen this new show. I'm just fans of theirs.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm talking about this show right now. And I'm sitting there in this seat behind me, and there was some guy talking to the stage. It's like, you're not at the movies, dummy. These seats are so expensive. And look, was I fifth row center? Yeah, I was. Did I break the bank for them? Kind of, yeah. Was it worth it? Absolutely. But look, I paid good money. Everybody around us paid good money. And this guy in the thing is like, Nathan Lane. He just says it because they mentioned him in the show at some point. It's like, yeah, no, they know that was a part of the show because they wrote the show. And everyone in the audience also knows it's a part of the show because they're hearing the show right along with you, stupid. And at one point, someone said something about, he made some joke about Freddie Mercury. Says, oh, great, you're making Freddie Mercury like some weird, like, homophobic. Oh, my God, it was so weird.
Not nice.
What a weird. Yeah, it was not nice. Thank you, Matt. Homophobia is not nice.
No.
It's Matt from Buffalo speaking out. The more you know with Matt Buffalo, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
So I'm, yeah, so, but you're doing what that guy did to my show tonight. So I said,
I know,
to you,
I did the last time I called you. I'm sorry, I don't want to get, like,
and
burned.
What did I do last time?
What you're about to do right now?
No, I'm not. I'm trying to get an answer from you. What did I do last time?
You told me that I talk over people, that you want me to repeat something, then when I did, you're like, get out of here.
So it didn't go well.
Oh, I thought it was funny, but yeah, it didn't go well.
And how did it end?
You just hung up.
I knew I could soften him to the point. He knew I was going to do it, but I just had to rattle, like shake the keys enough for him to just look at them and not realize that I was doing exactly, whatever. Best show.
Hi, Tom, it's Kat from Raleigh.
Oh my goodness, it's Kat from Raleigh. Kat, the owner of a cat, whose name is?
Sid. He's on my couch right now and looking at me a little bit quizzically.
How are you, Kat?
Oh, I'm pretty decent. For my unburdening, I guess it comes well for me because, I've been calling into the show a little under, for listeners, I've been calling into the show a little under a year now, and, some of you who may have listened to me before might remember that I have a, mystery ailment.
Yes.
And, you know what it is. People on Twitter know what it is. But I'm just going to come right out and say it because my it's something that does kind of burden me and that I'm afraid of talking about it, like, sometimes when, especially since, like, at some point I'd like to start dating, and I'm afraid only people run for the hills, but I'm going to come out and say it. I am a breast cancer survivor. I have gotten, like, my third, like, clean scan, no evidence of disease.
Well, Kat, that is awesome for you to say that. And something like that, I know what it's like when you have a thing that is not something that you turn into, something you're trying to keep private, then kind of grows into a thing that you're now carrying a thing and not having to tell everybody about a thing. And now you're carrying some burden that is not something that's wrong, but you're still carrying the thing. Is that what it feels like?
Yes. Yes, because, like, it feels like just a big secret, like a monkey on my back, so to speak, and, like, people, I guess, like, I'm just afraid, especially if I'm, like, looking to date someone, that they'll, like, their perspective of me will totally change when I tell them, and it'll come out eventually, and sometimes I admit, I like to tell people probably before they're ready to know, because I like to, like, cut my losses.
Oh, well, that, look, you handle it however you need to handle it is how you handle it, and there's no wrong way for you to handle it. This is nothing you have to qualify or soft pedal for anybody listening, anybody you're talking, not anybody listening, anybody you're talking to or dealing with or introducing yourself to or interested in or whatever. You don't have to do that. It's your life and it's your story, and that's it.
Yeah. I took a lot of inspiration right after I was diagnosed from Tig Notaro.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, the way she approached it is, like, very inspirational to me.
That's awesome. And her story is something for her to own all that stuff publicly and without flinching is such an amazing thing. And if that helps you, that's even better. So that's awesome, and you have nothing to worry about, Kat. You're an awesome person, and I'm glad you got the clean scans. That's all that matters, and your future is going to be great. So don't sweat the stuff, and don't worry about it. You're you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, I guess, like, since one time I joked that, like, I don't have the Black Plague. I guess I would probably some people wonder what I did have. And since I just thought it'd be an opportunity because I did just get the scans. And also on my end, I didn't want this just to turn into another version of Unpopular Opinions, which was also a topic that I called on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kat, you've got nothing to worry about. The only thing you should worry about is that cat of yours, Sid.
Yeah,
and the only thing you should worry about is how you can change Sid's name to human, which is
I'm gonna get another cat eventually.
Because how can somebody named Cat get a cat and not name the cat human?
I am going to have more than one cat in my lifetime, and that cat will be named Human. Actually, you put the bug in my ear.
All right, well, Cat, you. I'm so happy about your health stuff. You stay strong and you did, this was awesome.
Yeah. Can I actually say another thing though?
I wish I could let you. Sorry. No, I'm kidding. Of course you can. I really do.
I have an idea for AP Mike.
Now this I want to hear. Does it have to do with apmike.bandcamp.com?
Not necessarily, but it could be just a new opportunity for him.
Oh, great. Please, by all means, I want to hear this opportunity.
Okay. So a couple of months ago, I was watching the Steven Universe episode where you meet Greg's cousin. Now, I wasn't too keen on that episode, but I thought of something that could have made it a lot better. I thought that AP Mike should, since you've got John on the show, voice and Marty, I was wondering, like, this would have been much better if AP Mike had been the voice of Greg's cousin.
I don't know about that. Look, first of all, he'd still be in the booth recording the thing with them. They'd still be in there. Hey, what's going on? You ever hear him do one of these voice sessions? I hear it when we've tried to record one or two things. Or you think he's filibustering? Takes so long.
I just think that Mike, as the voice of a cartoon character, would be entertaining, and he should consider voice acting.
Well, Mike, do you hear that? Kat is saying you should consider voice acting. Mike says he would consider taking a voice acting job. Just picture him. This is the voice acting I picture Mike doing. What would he be doing? He'd be saying, I don't know. Look, I don't picture him doing any voice job, honestly. I can picture anybody doing it, but no offense to Mike. Mike, you do 100 things great. Voice acting, I don't know if that's one of your things. Maybe I'm 100% wrong, but I just picture Mike just like saying, like doing a thing where he's like, hey, everybody, it's me, AP Mike. I want to tell you all about Diet Dr. Pepper. It's kind of like Dr. Pepper, but it's zero calories. It still has that Dr. Pepper taste. Would you drink a Diet Dr. Pepper after hearing that?
I mean, I've already have sometimes at parties where there's, like, nothing else to drink.
Well, look. Do I like Diet Dr. Pepper? Yeah, kind of. I do. The only thing I allow myself anymore, Kat. Diet Dr. Pepper. Just me staring at a Diet Dr. Pepper.
Well, partial to root beer myself.
Well, Kat, I'm going to see about getting Mike some voiceover work. We'll see. Get in the booth, right? Just picture the poor person saying to Mike, yeah, why don't you go nuts on the next read on this?
Okay, hey, everybody. It's AP Mike. For Diet Dr. Pepper.
Mike, can you do this one a little livelier?
Yeah, sure. Hey, everyone, it's AP Mike for Diet Dr. Pepper. I want to tell you all about Diet Dr. Pepper. It's got zero calories, but that...
Did your cat just scratch you?
He's playing with my hoodie string. Well,
come on, cat. Tighten it up. Not you, cat. The cat named Sid. All right, I got a boogie here. All the lines are lit up. Kat, I want to tell you, thank you for the call. You're awesome, and everything's going to be all right.
Oh, thank you, Tom. I could tell you that news right now.
Well, you take care of yourself.
All right, you too. All right. Bye.
Best show.
Hi, Tom. This is John from, I live in the suburbs of Atlanta.
He lives in the suburbs of Atlanta, or as people from Atlanta call it Atlanta, right? They call the suburbs Atlanta.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right?
I'm not.
When they're
Atlanta
just like, yeah, I'm from Atlanta. It's like, well, where do you live? Well, like 40 minutes outside of Atlanta. It's like, that's
exactly.
Not,
I'm like 45 minutes, and it's still the suburbs.
Yeah, because there's people who say they're from like Philadelphia, and then you're like, where do you live? They're like Cherry Hill, New Jersey. It's like, that's not.
That's ridiculous.
So what's up, bro?
So I have a great unburdening that I need. And so this happened 29 years ago when I was about 5 years old.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was at elementary school, and I called a teacher fat.
Oh. How did this happen?
My entire life.
Take us back to this moment. What's your name again, Sonny?
I'm John.
John?
Yeah.
John, how did this happen?
It was a cafeteria talk with some friends.
How old were you at the time?
I was 5.
But you were in the cafeteria at 5? Well, you
it was kindergarten.
Kindergarten in the cafeteria. Now, when you say cafeteria, you're not talking about a bustling cafeteria. You're talking about a table.
Oh, no. Cool.
What? Where are you? Hey.
I'm here.
Good. Because you weren't unburdened until I tell you you're unburdened.
Okay.
So, you're in this cafeteria with your other 5-year-old school chums. And then...
Yes.
What happens now?
We were just talking about teachers, and I said this one teacher, she wasn't even my own teacher, and I said she was fat.
And then did the teacher heard that?
One of my friends told her.
Okay. So, and you felt like dirt, right?
I did.
And you've been carrying this how long now?
29 years.
And every once in a while it flares up?
Yeah.
Makes you feel like
I'm not a... I'm not somebody who body shames or anything,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it makes you feel like the foundation of your own soul is built on swampland, right?
Faulty, yes, that sounds
faulty
right.
Groundwork. Because you're five. Yes. What kind of... And look, I'm going to get a little rough here. What kind of creep at five says something that nasty, right?
Right,
but
exactly.
You did. There was a mean part of you, John, a mean part of your mean little five-year-old self. And you've been carrying it this whole time, John, though you know what?
What?
You carried enough with that. You beat up on that five-year-old kid enough. Let go of it. It's over.
Okay.
You can unburden that. You wouldn't do it today. It's a thing. You were a dumb kid. That's what dumb kids do. Dumb kids do dumb stuff. So, John, you are forgiven.
Well, very good. I needed to hear it from you, Tom.
All right, you have a grand evening.
All right, you too. Have a good one.
That's what I need, a band like... I need to be in The Who. Is that asking? Nah, that one's a stretch. I need to be in The Who. Probably could at this point. Right? I bet you if I showed up with like a bass guitar or something, or conga drums, who they'd let me in, at least for a few songs. Let me jam with The Who. The phone number, 201-332-3484. It's the best show. Gonna have Gail Bennington in. And it's a fun show already. It's just going to keep staying fun. You having all right time, Mike? Yeah. Good. That's what matters to me, you having a good time. Best show.
I sure am.
Oh, you're having a good time.
I am, yeah. I'm loving the show. It's super badass tonight.
Oh, okay. The show's super badass tonight.
Yeah.
Hold on just one second.
Sure.
I just need to set something up tech-wise.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Hold on. Sorry. I'm so sorry. I just had to sort a techie thing out.
Oh, don't worry. I'm loving the show. I love being a part of it.
Now, who is this?
This is Danny in Newbridge Muse.
Hey, Danny in Newbridge Muse.
Muse, yeah.
What's up, Danny?
Well, I hope this is not uncool. I missed last week's show while it was happening, but I wanted to chime in on the topic, if that's okay.
And last week we were talking about the 25 best and 25 worst robots of all
right.
time. So what do you have? What do you have for this, Danny?
Well, my pick for best robot is the one in Star Wars that looks like a trophy that's come to life.
Okay.
What's that one called?
The one that looks like a trophy come to life, that's probably C-3PO.
I think you might be right. Let me write
right?
that down. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
But you kind of, you really have to write that down?
3CP? What is it?
3CPO. 3CP. I think it's 3. No, it's C-3PO.
Oh, I thought it was 3CPO, like it's the
not,
color. I don't
no,
know.
It's not. Although that's a fair guess, because there is kind of like a sepia tone to a lot of the things he's in.
Right, right, yeah. My pick for worst robot is the one in Star Wars that looks like an air conditioning unit that's come to life.
Uh-huh.
What's that one called?
You mean like a plug-in?
Almost like a trash can.
Yeah, that's R2-D2. No, R2, the letter R, the number 2, the letter D, the number 2.
Say it again.
R2-D2.
Got it. Okay. Well, I'm writing it down in case I want to, like, buy a mug that it's on or something.
Do you want to buy what?
Just in case I want to buy a mug or something that it's on, so I know what to ask for.
Yeah, so you can ask for an R2-D2 mug. Yeah, that makes sense.
Is that so strange?
Well, I'm amazed that you're such fans of both. Well, first of all, I'm amazed that that's your least favorite one and you want him on a mug. That's throwing me.
Well, I would give it as a joke gift to someone. Oh,
just like, can you believe how horrible this mug is? Right?
Yes.
Look how dumb this mug is with this.
Yes.
With the worst robot of all time on it.
Yes, and then if someone wants to get me a gift that I will like, they'll get me the 3 sepia tone.
Yeah, sure, they'd get you that one. Well, look, we did this topic last week, and everybody had a lot of different interesting opinions on their favorite and least favorite robots, and I guess that's...
Oh, hang on. What's that? Hang on. Hey. Yeah. Well, it was great seeing you, too. You know, I really think we did some good work in D.C. this weekend. Okay, yeah. Oh, hey, look, I have to go. I'm visiting my sick nephew, Sean. I didn't tell you about him? I know I did. Oh, my God, it's so sad. The doctors here at Newbridge Cyanide, they say it's the worst case of flagrant whooping belch they've ever seen. I know. Well, thank you. Thank you for your thoughts and prayers. Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Oh. Wait, who was that?
Excuse me?
Who was that?
Oh, that was Deirdre.
Okay.
Yeah.
Deirdre?
Yeah. Oh, hang on.
Okay, wait.
Hey. How are you? What? Me? What, Saturday? No! I was helping my brother clear all those limbs out of his yard from last week's hurricane. I told you that, didn't I? I know I did. No, it was a huge hurricane. What? Well, look, it's not me in the picture. Look, lots of guys have goatees and wear backwards baseball caps and Pearl Jam sweatshirts. And I'm sure a lot of them were at the march. Sharon, you know... No, I did not call you Sharon, Cheryl. No, I was about to say I was sharing some milk with the stray cat that I found. Oh, my God, he's so cute. I know, aren't you cute? Oh, my God, and she's so grateful for me having saved her. Aren't you, Cheryl? I named her after you, honey. I know. I did. Oh, hey, I gotta go. I think she's about to pee on my rug. Okay, I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Okay,
who was that?
Excuse me?
Danny, who was that?
Did you hear that? I'm sorry. I'm embarrassed. Did you hear that?
I could, yes.
Oof, well, I almost bought the farm on that one, Jesus.
What?
Well, that's what happens when you're trying to kick it with two similarly named chicks, right?
Okay. Well, I'm a little confused here.
Hmm.
Did you just tell that second woman you were talking to that you were not at the march?
Yeah.
But you said for the first woman you were talking to, was it Deirdre?
Yeah.
You said you were at the march.
Yes. Uh-huh. I was, yeah. See, I marched in D.C. with Deirdre, but I was supposed to also march with Cheryl in New York, but I had a problem.
Okay, you had a problem.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Hang on.
Okay, wait. What?
Yeah, this is Danny. What? No! Look, that car was in Christine's... No, you... Listen to me. That car was in Christine condition when I turned it in after you guys closed. I don't know. Maybe someone jumped over the fence and smashed it. Look, I didn't do anything. I'm not lying. I don't know what happened. Well, maybe I'll take you to court. Oh, my God.
Danny? What was that all about?
Oh, look, so... Oh, my God. So, in order to make it back to New York in time to march with Cheryl,
yeah.
I had to convince Deirdre that I needed to go back to New Jersey to tend to my sick mother.
Uh-huh. Well, can I ask, is your mother sick?
Well, define sick.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, is she not well, unwell?
Oh! No.
All right.
You know, and I'll tell you, but that worked fine though. You know, and I got to leave on time. But then when I was getting close to Trenton, this total a-hole cut me off, and I got really, really PO'd.
Okay.
So I started tailgating him, and we ended up having like this. It was like a. You've seen Duel, right? The movie Duel.
Yeah.
It was just like that.
It's a Dennis Weaver movie.
Exactly. Yeah. Him in a Hummer, and me in my my Toyota Tercel.
Okay.
Up and down the turnpike, yeah, and I ended up running him off the road. But my rental car, it did sustain some pretty heavy damage. But I was able to drive it back to Hertz and Newbridge, but just barely, and I dropped it off when they were closed.
Oh, my God. Well, that sounds like a pretty serious accident. Is the driver you ran off the road okay?
I don't know.
You know, okay, well, that was very, that was very flip, but I'm just trying to look.
Oh, he flipped, all right.
That's not what I meant, that he didn't mean that he flipped his Hummer. Look, Danny, I'm just trying to keep tabs on all of this stuff you're kind of laying out here, because you also mentioned someone named, was it Sharon?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I was supposed to have dinner with Sharon later that night in White Plains.
Uh-huh.
But like I said, I had that car trouble that I mentioned.
Yeah, car trouble. That you rammed a guy off the road and you're not sure if he's dead or alive. You know, because you're driving recklessly and in a rental car and just running somebody off the... That's not... Yeah, I might not call that car trouble, Dan.
Look, if you knock my ass out to Brad over at Hertz, I'm going to see to it that your muskrat food over in Newbridge Marsh. Uh-huh. You feel me?
Do I feel you?
Yeah.
Well, hey, let me ask you a question, tough guy.
Shoot, guy.
Uh-huh. Okay, I will, guy. Do any of these women know about each other?
Well, define no.
I don't want to keep defining the Oh, sure. Okay. Are they aware that you have relationships with the other women?
Oh, no.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, so you're basically lying to what? Was it three women? About something as important as the marches last week for just your own, like, deception and gain.
Well, you know, there are guys who present themselves a certain way, you know, on social media, yet have a very different way of living in private. And I guess I'm one of those. Is that a crime?
Well, it's not a crime, but I would just say that somebody with, like, basic morals or human decency would maybe find your behavior a little offensive.
Oh, hang on. Well, look, you listen, Robbie. You get the money when I get the money from the show you lot played last week, all right? The check ain't cleared yet, you hear me? When the money comes in, I'll get on the blower and I'll call you, all right? Yeah, goodbye.
Who is that, Danny?
Oh, that was Robbie. He's the bass player in this band that I manage. What a tool.
Uh-huh. So, I didn't know you managed a band.
Yeah, Poles.
Poles.
Yeah, P-O-L-L-S, not P-O-L-E-S.
Okay. Oh, I'm glad you clarified that.
Yeah, the other Poles suck S and D.
Oh, that's charming.
Yeah.
So, what were you yelling about?
Oh, well, see, I'm really close to getting these guys signed to this really, really, really cool label called Panzerfaust Records. And I got them this great showcase at Los Amigos Back Room last week.
Panzerfaust Records.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Have you heard of them?
Yes, I have.
Oh, well, you know, their president, Bill Riccio, he was there to see the boys play, and he loved it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, you do know that Panzerfaust Records is a white power record label, right?
No, it isn't.
No.
Where'd you hear that?
I'm 100% certain that it is.
Huh.
Uh-huh. And can I just point out your how terrible your English... Is that supposed to be an English accent?
Yes!
Uh-huh. Because you sounded like it was partly... It sounded like kind of like Cary Grant. Like it has a certain kind of that... like somebody who's not English, but is so mannered that you almost think they're English the way you do with, like, Kelsey Grammer or
he's English?
He's not English.
But he sure is.
No, he's not, but he has that pomposity that you're like, well, this guy's almost English.
No, he's English. He's as English as, what's his name, David Ogden Stiers.
Yeah, he's not either. I was talking about that earlier.
Were?
Yes.
Oh.
He's not English either.
I must have been in the can.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't need to know that, but.
Okay.
Yeah, you kind of had that, but there's also like a Cockney aspect to it.
Like Cocksparer, yeah.
Like the band Cocksparer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Put the boot in.
Yeah.
Right?
Put him up against the wall and kill him.
That's right.
Shoot them all.
That's my credo, pretty much.
Shoot them all. Shoot them all. Put them up against the wall and kill them. Short and tall. Come on.
I love it. I think that should be emblazoned on t-shirts for all to wear.
And I think it's a great chorus for a song that is about their band trying to succeed.
That's right. they got on Top of the Pops several times.
That I did not know.
You gotta watch a documentary.
Well,
and you gotta watch you gotta read a book called The Best Seat in the House, A Cocksparer Story.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Maybe I will. But I gotta say that English accent is, abysmal.
Well, you listen to me, alright? I've been getting monetary and sexual perks from that accent for years.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's
horrifying. Hey,
getting...
you know, I even got a free turkey dinner last week from this waitress because she thought I was Martin Chambers.
From the Pretenders.
You got it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because you were doing
geez.
That.
Hang well, on.
Okay.
Hello. Well, you listen, Bert. If you don't like how I manage the land, you can go do it yourself. But I don't think a bloke who fills boner prescriptions at Rite Aid is going to have time to do that, right? Look, I'm telling you what I told your kid, right? I pay the band after I get paid. Listen, you little sod. If you don't stop undermining my authority, I'll take it out. I'll take you out in the street and beat your ass where everyone can see it. You small town rube. Oh, my God.
Okay, now who was
there,
that guy? Who was that? Bert?
That was Bert Hawkins. That's Robbie's father.
Uh-huh. From the band.
Total creep. I hate him.
Yeah. Well, I got to say, it sounds like Bert is the father of the guy you yelled at.
Yeah.
So he's probably just looking out for his kid.
Well, look, Bert needs to let me do my thing and butt out, all right? You think Peter Grant was constantly henpecked by John Paul Jones's buffoon of a father? I don't.
Yeah, I don't picture that happening, though.
I did hear, I'm sure you read these stories, about Jimmy Page's dad coming to sound checks and things and you know, trying to mix sound.
I've never heard this.
Yes, super old guy, too. He thought it was a radio. He thought the band was a radio. He was so senile.
Mm-hmm.
Very weird stuff. Weird, wild stuff.
Uh-huh. Oh, so that's your Carson.
Yes, and that's what he said after Led Zeppelin played on the Tonight Show in 1974.
He said it was weird, wild stuff?
That was Led Zeppelin with Misty Mountain Hop, weird, wild stuff.
I don't know if Led Zeppelin were on the Tonight Show.
I know they did. They were, absolutely.
Johnny Carson had a hard time with when the Association were on the show.
I know, right?
Yeah, so...
You know what he thought Wendy was?
I don't even want to know.
Well, he thought it was...
I just...
Wet.
I had to bleep everything you said, except for...
You did?
Wet, yeah.
Oof, okay.
Come on, Danny. This is very troubling.
No, hold, please. I'm sorry.
Hello? I'm so sorry, Mr. Stevens. I tried to call today, but the dentist gave me so much Novocaine during my emergency root canal that I couldn't speak. I'm so sorry. Yes, sir, I promise. I'll be there at 9 a.m. sharp. Oh, thank you so much, Mr. Stevens. Goodbye.
Oof, I voted that one. All
right. Who is Mr. Stevens?
My parole officer. Why?
Hey, you have a parole officer.
I do, yes.
What were you in jail for?
Tom, did you know it's illegal to write checks when you don't have the money in the bank to cover those checks?
Yes. Of course, everybody knows that.
Really? I didn't.
Yeah. So, I'm just going to go out on a limb here, Danny, and assume that the story you told your parole officer about the emergency root canal was a lie.
Look, you call it a lie. I call it a truth augmentation.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So I wasn't able to check in with him because I was having coffee at the Beanbag. Have you been to this place? It's that new place in East Newbridge that serves coffee in little tiny paper sacks.
No, I haven't.
Really, really messy. Really dumb idea.
Seems like you have to drink your coffee very quickly.
Super quick. And it's scalding hot, too.
Mm.
Yeah. So anyway, I was there with, oh my God. Oh, what is her name? Come on, Danny. Becky. Becky. Great gal. What a great gal she is.
Okay. Can you not say gal?
Is that, why? Is that
it's a really weird thing.
I hear Clint Eastwood refer to women as gals.
He's 88 years old.
And he's a good guy. I mean, he has a lot of children.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He's an old, old man.
Well.
So, you know, Danny, it seems like you're, like, how many people are you, like, I don't even know what you would call it. What, like, juggling? Like, how many people are you kind of juggling right now?
I don't know, 28?
So you have 28 lie-entangled stories going right, it's like simultaneously.
No! I've got 28 truth-augmented tangled stories going on.
Uh-huh, okay.
Show me some respect.
Yeah, okay, well, I gotta say that on one hand, this is wildly offensive, but it's also very fascinating to just imagine a guy like you living this life every day. Your daily life?
Mm-hmm.
Is probably so, it must be so filled with just these lies and deceptions for you to keep everything straight.
It does get complex, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, just, okay, well, what is a typical day like for you? Like what time do you get up?
Well, I usually get up around 10:15.
Okay, so you kind of get a late start, like, so 10:15 in the morning, you get your day rolling.
No, 10:15 p.m.
Wait, 10:15 p.m.?
Yes, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. My wife, Debbie, gets home from work around 8.
Oh. Wait, you're married?
Yeah.
Debbie is your wife.
Yes, yeah. I didn't mention that, did I?
No, you didn't mention Debbie, your wife.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, well, anyway, Debbie's a physical therapist for wounded vets.
Uh-huh.
So she's pretty beat after she fixes dinner for me and the kids and then helps them with their homework.
Uh-huh. This is like, how many kids do you have, Danny?
Three. Iggy, Danzig, and Megadeth.
Oh, those are...
What?
Iggy...
Yes.
What was the other one?
Danzig,
all right.
Mm-hmm.
And Megadeth.
Yes.
So you kind of, you couldn't even keep it together with, like, decent music for all three of your kids' dumb names.
Those are great, great bands, great musicians.
Megadeth is great?
Yes.
Oh, That's what I don't know what to tell you.
Just because he's the worst singer of the Big Four doesn't mean that you can slam him.
Yeah, he was the worst and still is the worst singer of the Big Four.
How dare you?
What? You just said the same thing.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Well, regardless, he can shred circles around all of us.
Uh-huh. Well,
yep.
Danny, what do you do for work?
Oh, I freelance. I do some consulting, but mostly I write clickbait headlines for websites like Zapped, Scorched Earth, and BuzzFaucet.
Uh-huh. Okay, yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Oh, I detect some condescension.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. So you even call them clickbait headlines.
Look, you can act like you're above it, but chances are you've clicked on at least a few of my headlines over the years.
Okay, like what?
Oh, let me think. What are some of my good ones? What happened to Ted Danson's ears? This wonder pill could fix your broken dink or make it fall off. What else? These former child hostages have aged horribly. Former MASH star's sick sex deathbed pervert confession. What else? Henry Winkler lost over 500 pounds. Here's how. 37 photos of Justin Bieber that Justin Bieber doesn't want you to not see. What else? Pants used to cost money. Now they don't. Here's why. The 15 ethnic slurs that you can get away with saying in mixed company.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah, so stuff like that. This one was more disgusting than the next.
No! It's real life.
It's real life. The ethnic slurs that you can get away with. In what? Was it mixed company?
Yeah, look. Do you want me to not make a living?
Well, I don't know what to tell you. Those are the worst things going.
Well, look, we could argue that all night, but getting back to your question about my typical day?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, tonight's a little different, but we usually get into bed around 10. Debbie will read one of her New Age books for a bit, do a little remote healing meditation for others who are in need. Then I'll try to get some LMing going, you know, but chances of that are slim to none.
Okay, LM, is that what? Yeah, all right.
Lovemaking, sure. Yeah.
Okay, that's, calling it LMing is a little unsettling, but...
Well, I don't know what I can get away with on the air here.
Well, I appreciate you being respectful then.
Namaste.
Uh-huh.
Well, look, I'm a very sexual being, Tom. You know, my needs in that department are both unspeakable and unquenchable.
That is the worst thing I've ever heard anyone ever say. Ever.
Hmm.
Unspeakable and unquenchable.
Well,
I wish for you, you know what I wish for you?
What?
That you get quenched.
I always get quenched.
Just to make it stop.
No, that feeds into it, so it's... Yeah, I don't want to talk about too much, but
so
I think you get the picture.
Your wife makes dinner and does homework for the kids and then does some healing meditation and things. And
yes, yeah. And then I'll turn the light on around, I don't know, 10, 20 or so. I'll close my eyes for about 10 minutes or as long as it takes Debbie to fall into her, her blissful, ignorant sleep. And then I start checking my phones.
Mm-hmm. Your phones?
Yes, yeah.
Like plural.
Yeah, oh yeah, uh-huh. Yeah.
How many phones do you have, Danny?
Well, do you know how John Popper from Blues Traveler has that belt where he stores all his harmonicas and they're all in different keys?
Yeah, that vest he wears?
Yes, yeah. Uh-huh. I have one of those, but for all my cell phones.
Okay, I need to actually just think about this for a second.
Okay.
So it's a full vest.
Yes.
With all different pockets on it.
Yes.
And they all have different phones in each pocket.
Absolutely, yes, yeah.
So you're just constantly, what, answering and phones and fielding calls?
Oh, yeah, yeah, taking calls, making calls, a lot of texting, a lot of direct messaging, Skyping, FaceTiming, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Snackchat, all of them.
All right.
And I'll tell you, man, this belt gets, this vest, yeah. It's like a belt and a vest.
Sure.
It gets so hot.
Mm-hmm.
It's constantly humming. I don't even want to think about how many rads this thing is shooting into my torso right now.
Yeah. Do you even sleep?
What do you mean, like, what do they call that, REM sleep?
Yeah, like actual deep sleep.
Oh, God, no, I don't think I've achieved that since, like, I don't know, 2010.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that seems really unhealthy, because that's like people will go, literally go insane from not getting deep sleep.
Mm. Well, you know, I do take supplements.
Uh-huh. Okay, what kind of supplements are you taking?
We do not need to get into that.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So not so much supplements as...
Like a pick-me-up.
Sure.
Yeah.
What forms of pick-me-up come in?
Granular.
Yeah.
Any other questions about it? Like what color it is? It's white.
Okay. And how are you in... How does one ingest this?
Well, the instructions say to take it nasally.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what it says on the prescription.
On the prescription. Case. And when you say prescription, you mean?
Mm-hmm. My doctor, he prescribes it. His name is Rodrigo.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Rodrigo.
So, hey, but you know, in my defense, I get just as much sleep as President Trump, and he's on the fast track to become our best president since General Patton.
Uh-huh. Well,
that's indisputable.
Okay. Well, one thing that is completely disputable is that General Patton was a general and not a president.
I don't think so.
Yeah, well, it's...
I don't want to Google this right now because I'm enjoying our talk.
Well, Danny, let me just ask you, how on earth are you keeping all of these... deceptive stories, which is I'm going to call them to show respect to you, God knows why. How are you keeping all these stories straight?
Well, Tom, I'm constantly referring to the Bible.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The Bible?
Yeah.
So you read the Bible, which does not seem to jibe with the behavior you're describing.
Oh, no, when I say the Bible is what I call Danny's giant book of truth augmentations.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Ooh, let's see. Oh, crack it open.
Oh, so it's an actual book.
Let's see what's on tap for tonight. Let's go to Tuesday. Here we go. Oh, do I have a full plate? Oh, no. Oh.
What?
Tom, do you know anything about teaching 8th grade algebra?
No, I don't.
Oof. I ask because I got hired to do just that at New South Newbridge Junior High School, and I was supposed to start January 9th, but I've been making up every excuse possible to not show up and yet still get a paycheck for it.
Okay, and how did you get hired for this this teaching job in the first place?
Yeah, it's a fake resume. Someone else I don't.
Okay, I couldn't hear you there.
I used a fake resume and someone else's identity.
Uh-huh.
Why?
Yeah, well, you know, you're just going to have to, I guess, face the music on that one tomorrow.
Nah, I'll think of something.
Uh-huh. Well,
yeah.
Can I just say, Danny, there is no way that you can maintain this, keeping all these relationships going for very long, right?
Oh, God, no. See, what usually happens is this. I come on super hot and heavy for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, constant texting and messaging. Mm-hmm. A few in sweatpants D-pics. What? It's tasteful stuff. It's erotic, but it's tasteful. Nothing gross. You know, then the odd in-person liaison.
Yeah.
And then I disappear once either I lose interest or they start to see through my charming yet patently false veneer.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. And doesn't your wife ever find out about any of this?
Thankfully, Debbie, you know, she doesn't even have time to be on any kind of social media, but with her job and also her charity work with the Newbridge Coalition for the Cruelly Afflicted. Have you seen these people?
I haven't, but yeah. I got to say, even if she doesn't know about this, there has to be some sort of like repercussions if you're doing this as much as you're doing it to as many people as you're doing it to.
Oh, my God. That's the understatement of the century. Truthfully, it has really impacted my daily life, yes.
How so?
Well, for one, I can only go to the New West Cumberland Avenue branch of Kearns Fargo Bank because of 2 years of pretty constant, pretty flagrant teller dalliances.
Okay, yeah. Well, that sounds pretty awful.
You're telling me. I mean, I have to drive clear across town to cash Debbie's checks.
Okay.
But, you know, it's not just Kearns Fargo. There's a slew of other local businesses I can't go to because of, you know, all the ill will I've engendered. Engendered?
Yes.
Generated?
Both. Both. Either applies.
Okay.
Like where? What businesses?
Oh, my God. Cretin's Foot Locker, Almost Fresh, Soft's Hardware, Burt's Diet Pizza, O's Shirt, Captain's Donuts, Panting for Pantsuits, Mussolini's Toy Chest. I dropped the book.
That's a heavy book.
It's big. It's a tome. It should be in the dictionary under the word tome.
Sure. It seems like the kind of book that, like, Taschen would put out.
Exactly. Yes. Passion.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. Where else? Little Stinker's Dairy Nozzle, Martian Burger, Todd Rundgren. Have you been there, Todd Rundgren? It's that comedy club where the audience is on treadmills.
No, I haven't. A comedy club where the audience is... Okay, I can't even picture what that would be.
Yeah, it's fun. CD Submarine, where else? The Sandwich Rampage, Hector's Used Swimsuits, The Food Faucet, Dinglesberry's, Gene Simmons Toyota, Kurt Vile Kia, to name just a couple.
Does he own a Kia?
He does. He's a good salesman. He's on the lot. Whenever he's off the road, he's there 9 a.m.
Selling Kias.
Can you imagine? I love your impressions. Could you do Kurt Vile trying to sell me a Kia? All right, I'm walking up. Hey, this is a nice one. What's the story on this?
It's a, I don't know. It's a Kia Cadenza.
Well, does it have a good safety rating?
Yeah.
All right, I have one more question, and then I'm going to buy this car. Does it have, you know, like, can I connect my iPhone to it?
Yeah.
Sold. See, he's that good a salesman.
It seems very simple.
It's great. Uh-huh. You know, I really did think I was talking to Kurt Vile just then. Mm-hmm. You're so good at it. And you're so good. Everyone, that's all they talk about. All the forums I go on,
they
talk about how good you are at your impressions.
Oh, please.
Yes, I would love to hear you do one more, please.
I really can't, Danny.
Please.
What would you want to hear me do?
I don't know. How about, let me think for a second. What about Leonard Cohen doing a Smashing Pumpkins song?
I don't even know what that would be.
Well, try. Come on. Please?
What would you be like? I don't even know what this will be. I'm going to try.
I think we'll all be excited no matter what it is.
Okay. Despite all my rage, I am still just a rat in a cage. Despite all my rage in a cage. Like that?
Did you put a record on?
I did not.
Oh, my God.
He never recorded that.
Wow.
I don't know how that would be a thing I could put on.
That's really good. Well, that was it as far as I'm concerned.
Well.
I loved it.
Well, I'm glad. You know, I'm glad I'm making a creep like you happy.
Hey!
What?
That hurts my feelings.
Well, you're a creep.
Well, I can't go to all these places. You know, that's bad for me.
Yeah, you got a bad thing going. You ruined your rep through town. It's not surprising.
I'll tell you, man, sometimes It's gotten so bad I had to stepfather my way out.
I don't. What do you mean by stepfather your way
out? Oh, come on. I've heard several callers take you to stepfather school over the last year.
That's why I'm very hesitant to ask. But...
Do you want me to nutshell it for you?
Yeah, please.
Well, when I realize things are going to go really horribly wrong due to my insatiable need for outside of marriage ego and sexual fulfillment, I start planting the seeds for a whole new life in a town that's at least 100 miles away.
Oh, that's... So you've done this already?
Yeah, four times.
Congratulations, Danny. I've been doing this show for so long.
Mm-hmm.
You are the biggest creep.
Wait, what? The biggest what?
The biggest creep that has ever called the show. And one caller once flew a blimp that had a town attached to it and dropped it on another town.
I think I read about that.
Yeah, you're worse than that guy.
Oh, that was not how I thought that sentence was going to end.
Well, it is. You're a bad guy.
No, I'm not. Oh, hang on.
Oh, great.
Hello? Yes, sir. I'm sorry, sir? This is coming from the president, sir? Okay, yeah. I will get right on that, sir. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Who was that?
Oh, you know, I'm also the personal assistant to Press Secretary Spicer. Did I not mention that?
So, Donald Trump's press, his new press secretary, what's it, Sean Spicer?
Yes, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That I is, really?
I am, yeah, yeah. And I'll tell you, I got,
what?
This is bad news for somebody. In a few seconds, President Trump is about to launch a full-on assault of this total loser of a rabble-rousing threat to democracy who's been slandering him in some Bayonne tavern. Guy sounds like a real piece of work.
Oh, no. What? Mike, Mike's Twitter, what, Mike said his Twitter is blowing up.
Who's Mike?
Mike's the associate producer on this show. So that's who he went after?
He goes, he's in that tavern? He trash talks the president in that tavern?
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like he's getting what he deserves.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's who he did it to.
Yeah.
Mike just said his phone is literally smoking.
Oh, my God. Hang on.
What?
Hello?
Oh, great.
Oh, hi, Destiny. Of course I'm going to be there. I'm just tying up some last-minute loose ends, that's all. Yes, absolutely, yes. I will see you at the church at 9 a.m. sharp.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I love you too, Snookums. Bye bye.
Who's Destiny?
Delaware. Forgot.
Okay, wait. What? Say it.
This woman in Delaware. I forgot I'm getting married to tomorrow.
Uh huh. You forgot you're getting married to someone. You're married to somebody already.
Well, look, I forgot to write it in the book. Okay, I did write down my other wedding that's happening Saturday in Phoenix.
Uh huh. Phoenix.
Yes. Yeah, her name's Brooke, and she's a tattoo artist.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Hey, can I ask you a favor, please?
What?
I need you to call Press Secretary Spicer tomorrow at 10 a.m. and say that I can't come until, I don't know, March at the earliest, because I got my buns severely charred helping rescue a volleyball team from a burning bus today.
No, I'm not.
Please?
I'm not doing that.
Why?
Because it's a lie. I'm not getting involved in your web of deceit.
At least call my parole officer, Mr.
No.
Stevens. Please?
No.
Why?
Because I'm not getting involved in it.
You're breaking the man code.
The man...
We all take it. We all adhere to it.
No.
We turn the cheek.
No, I'm not doing it.
What's your handle on Twitter? It's...
Sharpling.
Okay.
What?
Oh, nothing. I just wouldn't want to be you at midnight tonight.
What are you doing?
You saw what happened to your buddy's phone, right?
Not my buddy, but
yeah, yours is going to burst into flames. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's going to catch fire to your head too.
Oh, that's nice. That's
how I'm programming it. Uh-huh. Not me. It's someone else's. I'm sure.
Sure. Okay. Well, this is charming.
Okay.
Uh huh.
All right.
Yeah. What? What?
Oh no.
What?
Oh no.
Wait. What?
I think Debbie might want a divorce.
Why is that?
I don't know. You tell me. I've been a model husband.
Well, is she listening to the radio, maybe?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. Why did I do this?
I don't know.
Will you help me, please?
You need to get help, but I'm not qualified to help you.
Will you pay for my help?
No, I'm not going to pay for your help.
Oh, maybe the ACA... Nope. Well, I'm going to go to Canada. And what, I don't know, because I trashed that car.
Mm-hmm.
Debbie won't let me have the keys. This is a disaster.
Yeah. I guess it ended up this way. I don't know. How could it have ended up this way?
Right? I don't know.
Yeah, me
I don't
neither.
Believe in karma either, uh-huh. So it's beyond me.
Sure.
Okay, look, I'll let you go.
Oh, okay, you've got to go now.
I do, yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, you take care.
Yeah, well, best of luck to you, Danny.
Okay, well, worst of luck to you.
Well, that's sweetie to say. This is it's crashing down around you, and it's well-deserved.
Look, all I have to say to you is, bye-bye!
Oh, that was... Oh! That was almost as bad as I think the band Knots are good. Knots! I hit it wrong. Urgh, that drives me nuts. I'm supposed to... Knots! No, oh, I did it twice. I'm going to smash this computer over Mike's head. Sorry, Mike. I have no say in the matter. Knots. Oh! Hold on. Doing it all here. Studio's not here this week. That's why it's all falling apart. Mike's here. Pat's here. Martinez here. Unless he left. Is he here? Still here. Martin's a good guy. Mike was saying it's a slight upgrade over Dudio. But you know what I say to that? Not! From their first album, which came out on Goner Records. Insect Eyes, from the album We Are Knots, N-O-T-S. They're so awesome, Knots. You like that, Mike? Mike? Hey! What? Oh, God. I can't do it anymore, Gail Bennington. What am I going to do?
You do it all, Tom Sharpling.
Thank you. Thanks for coming down first.
Oh, my God. Thank you for having me back. So good to be back in the House of Best.
Fourth time here, right?
Yeah.
Four. The Four Timers Club.
I know. That's a pretty big deal.
Who's in the Four Timers Club? A lot of people, but not many. Not as many as you'd think. You're in it now.
I'm in it.
Welcome. Now, people, first of all, let me just say, you're listening to the best show. Wait, I don't have any ID to do. This is not a legal show anymore. What am I doing? Hey, Mike. You eat any of those wings out there? Did you?
Smell good.
No, you didn't yet. We're talking about wings on the air, and then Pat and Martine go and order buffalo wings. It smells like I'm doing the show out of the Buffalo Wild Wings now, which is what I'll be doing a year from now anyway, so I might as well start getting used to it, right? Hey, everybody, you're both. That's what announcing I'll do a year from now. I'll be like, Mike, your order's ready. I'm assuming someone says that at a Buffalo Wild Wing or the thing buzzes or something.
Yeah, well, you have the voice for it.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Buffalo Wild Wings.
Perfect.
It's like those announcers on FX when you'd watch FX and they would give a different announcer for each show. Where, like, for Louie, it would be like this guy's like, I'm Louie tonight. Like, Louie. So they give, like, a street, like a cabbie, an old-fashioned cabbie.
So that's what you're going for your wing announcer?
Well, I need to think of what Buffalo Wild Wings would expect from somebody working the mic there.
I think they would also expect you to do the birthday song. Like, I feel like the guy on the mic also, anytime it's like, there's a birthday in the house.
Now, do you think Buffalo Wild Wings is comfortable at this point living in that gray area of whether happy birthday, whether you can do happy birthday now or not? Because it's like, it's still like shaking itself out to where, like, the Hill Sisters had the song and then the happy birthday. And then they got a piece of anybody who ever did it anywhere. That's why every movie was always like, for he's a jolly good fellow, nobody sings for he's a jolly good fellow at a thing. It's public domain.
Yeah, I think that despite the fact that it is now acceptable, I think that they would still have a creative, like some sort of a wingy, punny kind of birthday song.
They have a wing song?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, this place smells like a...
It's really, really wingy in here. I'll
tell you one thing. Dudia would not order Wild Wings. He would know better than Martine. That's a downgrade for Martine on that. Dudia would not order Buffalo Wings here. I really feel like I need to pour, like, blue cheese in my ears to, like... Right? Don't you feel like... What vegetable do you think of now?
Celery.
Yeah. That's all I can think of is like little celery sticks. Did you guys have celery? You didn't. Of course not. I guess that's what happens when they deliver.
Room.
Yeah. Not enough room. How many wings did eat? I don't want to talk about this anymore. I'm going to throw up as it is.
At least smoke. I'm not hungry anymore.
Yeah. It smells like you ate already. It's just like, oh, I'm full. And you're like, wait, am I? I didn't eat anything for dinner yet. I'm super hungry. It just smells like, obviously I must have eaten if it smells like that in here.
Like, why does my breath smell like it?
Yes. You actually kind of like, it feels like it's kind of coming out of my pores now. And I don't even eat wings at all.
My hair is going to smell like
for a week. You're going to like wash the wing stink out of your hair.
I probably won't.
Yeah, me neither. I'll live with it coming out of my pores. Someone had wings. No, I didn't. I was just near them when they had it. What strength wing did you order for it to smell that strong? Hot. Okay.
Creative.
I'm going to throw all of you out. Except you, Gail.
Oh, thank you.
You can stay. And Mike, you can stay because you didn't have any wings. Everybody else, hit the bricks, right? Right, Mike?
Yeah.
So, Gail Bennington, what is your name again on Twitter? It's like Gail with eight N's. And
it's, like, yeah. It's
like five A's and six N's or something.
You know, I was in an early joiner of Twitter.
Mm-hmm. So,
at Gail Ann.
Mm-hmm.
But the N is triple A, double N.
Sure. Triple A.
Double N.
Double N. There's no other variation on that?
You know, at the time, it didn't seem that important.
What time
to me.
Of day
I wasn't
or
living
night.
A public life, and so it didn't seem that, important.
Mm-hmm. Somebody wants to know, am I the only male that they don't find threatening when I yell? Well, I don't know.
So sad.
I'll take it. I yell more than people probably should. So it's probably better that it's not threatening. You know who doesn't take it seriously? My new dog.
You have a new dog. That's so exciting.
Good and Poochie.
So many things. So many changes since I've last seen you.
I know. Good and Poochie. It's the best dog. going. That's the update for my dog. Anybody wants to know, my dog's still better than your dog. Not your dog, literally.
Yeah, my dog is pretty solid.
Your dog, well, I got to say, it's a pretty low endorsement of somebody for their own dog. What's your dog? Yeah, pretty solid.
She's solid. She's a really solid dog, pretty, literally and figuratively
pretty
solid.
Pretty solid.
Yeah.
What are you, it sounds like you're trying to get people to underestimate your dog, and then suddenly they meet your dog, then you're like, see, my dog, you dog is pretty solid. My dog's actually rules.
Look, here's what I'm going to say. She's a lot, her looks are great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's kind.
Mm-hmm.
I would even say thoughtful, but that's about it. There's not any entertainment or tricks.
Really?
You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to be, she's kind of similar to a cat. Mm-hmm. She's going to just sleep a lot.
Well, I'm going to say this. I got my dog from a shelter, older dog, 3 or 4, who knows? They don't know. I was sitting with this dog the other day, and I had a snack, dog snack, not human snack. And I just was like going to give her one, and then like I like was going to like throw it over for her to go chase after it. She jumps up and catches it.
Oh, cool.
And I'm just like, this dog's got tricks I don't even know about. It's like the Bourne Identity with this dog. This dog, like, knows things and can do things, and now I have to, like, unravel the mystery. It's like, what other tricks do you know? What other secret tricks did you learn?
My dog, it was also a rescue dog, and everything that she knew, she kind of came with that.
Okay.
So, I don't understand how one house trains a dog. She just kind of knew it.
Oh, no,
like,
I know.
Right away. She just was like, nope, I'm set. And yeah. I was like, oh, okay, this is great. Yeah.
And I want to say this, these people. Go get a dog that's a little older. There's so much, I'm not going to put down, if you want a puppy, you go get a
they're
puppy.
They're cute, but.
Look, puppies are cute. Of course they're cute. Nobody's anti-cute. Like, I think puppies are ugly. Nobody's taking that stand.
Mm-mm.
But you know what puppies are? Stupid. Go get a dog that's a little older. They're not stupid.
Have you seen the trailer for the sad dog movie?
I can't watch that movie. I watched the commercial, and then I was just like,
Do you understand what the concept of it is?
The dog keeps coming back to life or something?
Yeah, the dog keeps coming back to life reincarnated.
Never.
Do you realize what this means? This means you're going to have to witness the death of 12 dogs in one film.
I'm not.
That's what it's saying.
Yeah.
It's saying, oh, I was this dog and I was that dog. We're going to watch 12 dogs die.
No, that's not happening.
For 2 hours.
Mike, this is what I need you to do. And this is if you want one of your dumb apmike.bandcamp.com plugs, because people can go get your stupid shirt or your dumb headshot. This guy sells headshots on this thing, signed. He's made so much money on these things.
Really?
He sold.
It's a good idea.
Because I reorder them for him. And he'll be like, I need more headshots.
Such a good impression.
Thank you. It sounds like him, right?
Yeah, it really does. I thought that was him for a second.
I know, right? I bring him to life. But then, this is what you're going to have to do, Mike. Because Mike doesn't ever go to the movies the way a normal person goes to the movies. He sees movies that he buys from a guy in a Rite Aid parking lot from the trunk. Guy sells bootleg DVDs. I need you to watch this movie, Mike, or you're never getting another plug in your life. For what's it called? The Purpose of Dogs?
A Dog's Purpose.
A Dog's Purpose. It comes out, I think, next week. I want you to go to your guy and say to him, I need 2 movies. A Dog's Purpose, right? And then I want you to also watch XXX3, Return of Xander Cage, which looks... yeah, I'm sure he has that one. XXX3. 2 for XXX3. Can you imagine somebody at the theater? 2 for XXX3.
It happens.
It did happen. Millions of people said that. They said, but can you imagine being the other one that somebody's
right.
like.
It's at, date night.
Yeah. And then somebody's going to talk on your behalf and say, you're standing next to the person as they lean into the thing. Two for triple X three. Two adults for triple X three. And you go to the Arclight. They're like, the Arclight's a fancy LA movie theater where they, you get your seat, like you get a seat assigned.
Oh,
already,
that's nice.
And then like an usher comes out and it's like, hi everybody. Welcome to the Arclight, theater. We want to welcome you here. Tonight's movie is, triple X, The Return of Xander Cage. It's, running time is 101 minutes. It stars Vin Diesel and Samuel L. Jackson. And we just want to remind everybody, please turn your cell phones off. And, if anybody is causing a disturbance, please let us know and we'll take, it's like, it's triple X three. Really? Anybody seeing that the Arclight deserves what they get? It's not Arclight thing. That's Cinerama Dome trash. Little LA inside stuff for my Lipstick City friends. So Gail Bennington at Gail N with two A's and three A's and two N's.
You got it.
You are on the radio every single day.
Yeah, I am.
As one half of Sirius XM's Bennington, which is your last name.
Correct, yeah.
Heard every weekday at noon.
Noon East.
Noon East. And replays are somewhere on satellite.
They're out there.
They're out there. You can track them down. What are we, the channel 100 here? You go find them yourself. The replays. Scrolling through for the schedule. No, you can find the replay yourself. And this show is on Raw Dog.
Yes, your favorite
right?
channel.
It is.
Yeah.
It's on Raw Dog.
Yeah.
No, my favorite channel is Volume. Liner Notes.
Also a great channel.
I get to listen to Trunk Nation.
Is that your favorite show?
It kind of is. To hear him race everyone to let them know that he knows them. So he's into it. Whatever. He's very exciting. He's very excited to know everyone.
Well, he's a great guy. He knows everybody.
He does seem like he does know everybody. Never answers my tweets, though. I always tweet him about UFO.
You want to
UFO?
Look, if you want to set something up, like maybe.
Oh my God, I would faint if I met him.
I know
I'd
you're
faint.
A big fan.
I would faint if I met Eddie Trunk. Let alone Mark Goodman.
I was in the elevator with Mark Goodman this very morning.
Really?
Yeah.
As he was getting ready for his show, Feedback. No, his show's not Feedback. I don't know. This is the problem. I hear that dumb show. Not that it's dumb.
Oh, Jesus, dumb.
I'm saying it in the colloquial sense of dumb.
Oh, boy.
Just like you say, yeah, that dumb dog, right?
I guess.
I don't call my dog dumb. I call someone else's dog dumb. Like if you see someone's dog, you're like, hey, stupid, what do you want a treat? Never
I'm in a hot seat over here. You're shock jocking
yeah.
me?
No, I'm not. Because this is clean. This show so far has been G-rated. Not like the
I heard filth. I heard someone in this show say LMing. So it's not that clean.
Okay. Well, it's PG then. It's PG. Possible. And the description would say racy humor, you know, when they sometimes say the descriptions on this, where it's
suggestive
like, yeah.
content. I don't know.
It should be like bathroom humor. Like some of the boxes on the movie ratings, they'll say like bathroom humor, suggestive language. And then other ones are like constant drug use. You're like, what's this movie going to be? Constant drug use? So, you're on Satellite XM. I'm not going to make fun of Raw Dog. You didn't name the channel.
I'm very proud of that name.
You should be proud of it.
I'm a Raw Dog, Tom. I mean, that's something you have to understand about me.
Now, do you feel like you are on the channel because did you become a Raw Dog when you got there? Or is it just like, yeah, I'm home now? Like the way when
I was born a Raw Dog.
So you were born a Raw Dog.
Yeah.
Sounds like a Waylon Jennings song.
I was howling out the womb.
So I was howling out of the womb. It's the worst. So you, but did you feel like when you sat and you stood, just like, yeah, did it like awaken the raw dog in you? Were you just like, or were you just like, this place is called Raw Dog? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm where I should be because I'm a raw dog.
Yeah, that's exactly how it was. Although I like that you feel like Raw Dog is this physical space. Like each channel is a room in its own. We're in the Raw Dog zone.
I'm
in the doghouse.
But you
want
to know the thing? You are.
Yeah.
You are. Maybe you're the last one to know. The worst thing about anything is we're the last ones to know the truth about ourselves. Isn't that terrifying? Think about that. Because you're like, am I talented or not? Everybody already has an opinion on whether you are. You're the one waiting for the answer. They know the answer, but nobody will say it to you. Like, man, you're not that talented.
Jeez,
and then
this
show
gets heavy.
Find out at the end of your life, you're like, well, it turns out I wasn't talented after all. And everybody's like, yeah, no kidding. We knew you weren't talented as soon as you started doing that thing you were doing. That's life.
I'm going to talk you off the edge tonight.
Oh, I'm fine. You don't have to talk me off the edge. Sure. I was thinking about it. We'll... You know, when you think about, like, getting buried or cremated or whatever, it's just
sure.
Like, I was just saying, like, yeah, you know, probably 50-50, sort of coin flip for me whether they even find my body.
If you had to pick one, what would you choose, though?
I'll go with cremated. Right?
Are you worried that the brain is not destroyed or something and that you're just going to be living in a box for eternity?
My work will live on. I will live on. Don't worry about that.
Through the magic of radio, you live on.
Sure. I will live on, one way or another. What if it turns out I live on but has nothing to do with what I know about now? It's like, oh, yeah, everyone still talks about that you existed, and it's for this thing that I have no idea that would have happened to me. It's just like, yeah, you did that thing, the horrible thing you caused. Oh, and people learned after they heard about you were the guy who did the horrible thing that you also did a radio thing also. Did you know the guy who did that terrible thing had a radio show also?
It's just going to be a footnote.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Gail Bennington.
Yes.
You are not just Bennington, this radio show. Sure, it's a huge part of who you are, but you do other stuff. You got your own podcast now.
I do. It's called Gail Meets Girls, and it's a podcast where I hang out with women in comedy.
Yes.
So it's all ladies in comedy.
Mm-hmm. And you've done, what, 3 episodes now?
Yes, there's 3 episodes up.
And it's you talking about comedy and being a woman in comedy and everything with other performers and stand-ups. And I've heard 2 of the 3 episodes, and I got to say, it's a good show. Check it out.
Oh, thank you
so much.
People should
check it out.
You can download it and subscribe on iTunes. And then I think you can also go to theinterrobang.com mm-hmm. if you're not an iTunes person.
Sure.
Like a podcast tab for you.
So people can hear it, and you how often are you going to be doing these?
I'm doing them off. I mean, like, since I just started, I think, you know, it's going to be like a bi-monthly kind of edition, perhaps turning into weekly.
Mm-hmm. So bi-month, so every other month?
Wait, is that what?
Bi-weekly.
Bi-weekly. Yes. Doesn't that sound like it should be twice a week? Though every time I go to say that. It seems like that would be twice in 1 week.
Well, when you want to say something takes place twice in 1 week, I think you say twice in 1 week.
That's not a good enough name.
Bi-weekly.
I think that bi-monthly should mean what bi-weekly means.
So put this chair, stupid raincoat. Sorry. I agree with you.
Thank you.
These keys are driving me up the wall. I'm telling you. I got stuck on the train last night for 3 hours coming back
That's
from
terrible.
Penn Station. It's like, what is this? Storm keeping the thing. What, the train with the storm? What are we going to do if there's a real storm?
You got to be stronger than it. I know that.
New Jersey was stronger than the storm. You know what wasn't, though?
What?
The roller coaster that was out on the thing. Not stronger than the storm. All those rides were in the ocean.
That was so weird looking.
Yeah.
So surreal. Yeah. It was like something that already existed, I think, in a nightmare I have.
It was like Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, that's exactly what it looked like. It
was like our Planet of the Apes with the Statue of Liberty sticking out. It would be a roller coaster sticking out of the ocean.
It was the Jersey version of Planet of the Apes.
Which would probably be called Planet of the New Jersey Apes. Probably called Jersey Apes. And that boardwalk, Seaside Heights, is the boardwalk that the show Jersey Shore was filmed on, a lot of that. So you can kind of think that maybe someone upstairs was saying, I'm going to scrub this clean at some point.
You know, yesterday I met Vinny from Jersey Shore.
Really?
Yeah.
And where was that?
It was at SiriusXM. Okay. You never know who's going to be coming through there. And one of my producers, she has a bit of a crush on him, and she was very excited to see him. Mm-hmm. So I had them pose for a picture together. Okay. But she was so nervous that she couldn't talk. So I felt like I kind of had to keep the conversation going. I was like, what's going on?
She was
She's a very young lady.
Oh, no, I'm not.
She's young and she was excited.
Well, this is what I want to say to her. You want to be intimidated by people? It happens. I get intimidated by people. That's not one of the people you should be intimidated by, though.
She was.
Vinny from Jersey
Shore. She was very excited.
Because what is it? Aspirational, what this guy has that she doesn't have?
I'm not sure what it is, but I think it was more that she
finds him. Was she a vampire? Her image doesn't hold to film? Like, that's all he's got that she doesn't have.
Yeah, then. I think it was more she just thinks that he's cute. And so she got all clammed up. So I kind of, while they were posing, and I was like, you know, I was kind of messing with the camera. It wasn't working. So I was trying to make small talk.
Sure.
I was like, hey, what are you doing a show in here? Oh, cool. What are you plugging? And he has a new show. It's like a cooking show that he's going to do with his mom.
Final Shot.
Have you seen it?
It's called Final Shot. Well, no, that's what it is. I don't know if it's called Final Shot. But that's what it is.
Okay. Gotcha.
Final Shot. If this thing don't
really
stick,
would be a weird
it's
name
over
for a cooking show.
With Vinny.
But yeah,
Jersey Shore.
But it was really funny because he was kind of acting a bit like a kid about it because he was like, "It's like a cooking show that I'm doing with my mom," and I was like, "That's cool."
Yeah.
And he was just like, "No, it's not." I was like, no, I'm not even kidding. So I go, like, now I feel like I'm talking to a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
So I'm like, and then I realize like I'm talking kind of down to him. We're not down, but I'm like being like a. Like, oh, hey, kid. And I was like, no, that does sound cool. I was like, you know, Vinny, I do a show with my dad every day. And he was like, you do?
Wait. Hold on.
I got him.
That's your father?
Yeah.
On your show?
Yeah.
Wait, I got to think this through now.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, okay. Now it makes sense. On your show. I didn't know that.
So anyway,
I didn't know the two you were related.
Yeah, and you know what? I normally don't think of it, but I thought of it when I needed to lift Vinny's spirits. It wasn't until afterwards where I realized that I was talking to him like, no, Vinny, I think it's cool what you do.
What you were saying to Vinny is like, Vinny, I'm like you, but good. I'm like you, but not garbage. Right? I do a thing with one of my parents too.
But he eyes lit up. He actually did seem like it helped.
Vinny. Hang in there, Vinny. What am I saying? I'm going to be line producing Vinny's show 2 years from now. Be getting yelled at by Vinny because the LaCroix isn't cold enough. I wanted purple mousse. There's no purple mousse here. So, Gail Bennington.
Tom Sharpling.
You I didn't get a chance to look at it. You have an you're a writer now too, apparently. You're like the regular George Plimpton. You're doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
A little all over the place.
You wrote an article on Huffington Post.
Yeah.
About?
It is an article about women in comedy and their response to Trump. Mm-hmm. So you can find it on the Huffington Post in the comedy section. And it is the challenge for women in comedy, finding what's funny and what's not in mm-hmm. Trump's America. Really? And you can find the link on my Twitter.
Which is Gail Ann.
Triple A, double N.
Three A's, two.
You know what? That actually sounds more confusing than just finding the article.
Rather than just find the article. Rather than just not even Googling it, but just typing anything into the top bar and eventually hitting on the article rather than being, how many A's did she say was in the, this isn't her, is it? What? No. People should check that out. And check the podcast out.
Thanks.
And listen to the show because you're so funny on the show. It's crazy to think you've only been doing shows of radio for less than 2 years now.
Yeah, that's correct.
That's nuts. I don't know how you do it. I'm jealous. It took me forever to get this is the best I've ever been. It took me two-thirds of my life to get to this point.
Well, you're on top of it, dude. You're on top of the mountain.
Well, I trade places with you.
You want to do a show with my dad? I think you and Ron Bennington should do a show together.
Well, look, how about this? Let's think about this.
Would it be a raw dog show, though? Would you go raw diggity for this show? Would you do it, Tom?
I couldn't do it. I don't think. But this is what I would do. I hope he does a show for 100 more years, right?
Uh huh.
But at some point, the proud lion's got to say, he's got to say enough's enough, right?
That's Ron Bennington?
Yeah, that's when you slide me in there. Right? Just slide me in.
I'll tell you this.
Like what? Like when the other guy joined Van Halen after Gary Cherone. I'll be like the Gary Cherone of that.
I think that you'd be more likely to take my retirement spot than his. There's no way Ron Bennington will ever stop doing radio. I can't imagine it.
All right. I'm trying to set up opportunities for myself.
I think you have one on Raw Dog.
But you got to
go raw.
It just be like, yeah, did you check that toilet out the other day?
That's so mean. That's not what this show is like.
It is. It's like, I saw a toilet the other day. Yeah, you know what I saw? A urinal. That's not what the show is.
Oh, man. I mean, it sounds like me. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Because you are a good impression.
There's that store. It sells bras. Did you see that bra store?
Hey, Rom.
Yeah. No, that's not what you do. It's I love the show. And I don't get to hear it as much as I did because I have a dumb job.
I know. Now. You're a working man.
Oh, I'm so fancy.
But you got a cool gig. You got a cool gig.
It's all right. It's all right. Right, Mike? Ugh. Why'd I even throw it to him? This guy. Because, look, I don't want to talk about your support staff up on that show anymore. Because that opens a door that doesn't get... The toothpaste gets out of the tube. You can't put it back in the tube.
Oh, I would never.
But you got some kind of crew up there, right?
Oh, yeah. I have a crew that I run with.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. When you see this lineup out there, right? You see Mike. You see Dudio. Mm-hmm. He's not here tonight. He's God knows where he is. See Pat. Let me ask you this. Would anybody on the Bennington staff order wings during the show?
No, I can't imagine that to happen.
Okay.
However,
yeah.
You know, it's a way to do a show. You know what I mean? Like,
we didn't write
the rule book. You know what I mean? It's just the way we do it over.
Well, over that's serious. See, that's the thing with Raw Dog. I just don't know. but the Raw Dog thing, wouldn't you just be like eating the wings and be like, who cares? And then like the 60s on 6 guy is going to walk in and be like, well, I was trying to, what are you doing? I'm trying to play Gary Lewis and the Playboys. It smells like wings in here now.
You know what I would like to do? I would like to one day for one show, and think about this.
Okay.
Freaky Friday, our staff.
Oh.
And see what happens.
My gut feeling was, you know, you have to just trust your gut. I was like, no way.
Why? Don't you think that would be fun?
Oh, it would be fun, but my
What's
I
your concern?
I feel like the downside for me, because this is what happens with my setup here.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we have to do here that you don't have to do. We have to turn everything on here and keep it running. Like,
they turn things on.
No, but
they
it's not like it goes off, like to where it's off.
Things get turned off.
Not off to the degree that
this
gets turned.
Oh, they know how to turn things off.
I'm sure they do. When I'm doing this, though, it's off. When we're done, there's not another thing after it. There, it keeps going. Sure, we have Best Show 24/7, the 24-hour, 7-day-a-week radio station we launched over at thebestshow.net/247. You can hear all sorts of things.
It's very exciting, by the way.
It is, right?
Very much so.
That we launched this. What was I watching today? I'm just going to play a second. Let me see what's on it right now.
All right, let's listen.
I was listening to this dumb Lou Reed song, Egg Cream. It's maybe the dumbest song I ever heard in my life. It's definitely his worst song. I was listening to this.
Some of you bad chocolate syrup, seltzer water mixed with milk. Stir it up into a heady flow, taste it just like syrup. You scream.
Okay, that's what I'm looking for an open window here. Thebestshow.net/247. Now let's see what's live on it right now.
Less kids on my end of town. So it wasn't this like compacted,
you know, high my voice sounds.
Universe of kids with 2001. The full dynamic. Was not
this was Mischief Night 2001.
Like, you know, but over there it was, you know, it was like Mischief Night City.
Right. Yeah, I remember where I was growing up.
Did you ever see that movie, Mischief Night?
You know what the most troubling thing about that was? It's 2017 right now, and I think I'm still having the same conversation in one form or another that I was having in 2001, the things I was saying just haven't stopped. Me just saying, hey, remember that movie Mischief Night City? Just lying about a movie that didn't exist. Like, that could have happened yesterday.
Yeah, but you did get that voice to drop.
I did. Because now my voice is deep. Like a grown-up. Anybody calls himself a grown-up is not like no adult.
And you have to yell it, too. Yeah. I'm a grown-up.
Yeah. It's like when a kid would, like, prank call, be like, I'm a grown-up, and I want to know what's, like, no adult has ever said, I'm a grown. Yes, hi, I want to ask if I could talk to someone there. I'm a grown-up, and I... Prank phone calls. Did you make prank phone calls as a kid?
I did. I don't remember any of them specifically because they only really happened at sleepovers. I don't ever remember doing it like on my downtime, like alone at home. But I definitely remember doing it with like groups of girls during sleepovers. And sometimes those like prank calls would be like not just to random places, but to like boys we liked or.
Sure. Made some prank. This is what I'm going to say, because we're talking about this in The Great Unburden.
Oh, yes. Let's unburden.
I'm going to let one out now, Mike. Why am I saying this? Why do I talk right to him? Got so many people. I got somebody sitting in this studio right across from me. I'm just like
here, Tom.
Talking through the wall. I'm sorry, Gail Bennett.
No, that's all right.
Three A's, two N's. I worked at a music store. And get the mail the music store. It was me and this other guy ran the store. This is when I was in college. Is this why it took me 7 years to get through a 2-year school? Yeah, this is probably why. I was working full time at a music store and building my class schedule around my work schedule and not tending to a lot of things. So mail shows up, open it. Suddenly, what's in this envelope? 4 tickets to see David Bowie in concert, right? At like Giant Stadium. And I'm like, well, these, we didn't order these. And I look and they got the street number right, but the street name wrong. So I was like, well, this is meant to go somewhere else. So I go to that place with these tickets. And then it's a pizzeria. And I go in, I'm like, yeah, hi, I work in town at a music store, and we got these David Bowie tickets, and they're addressed, the address is for you guys here, and I just want to bring them in. Guy takes the envelope, opens it, looks at the tickets, and he goes, yeah, I just want to make sure they're all there, and then goes back to the pizza. No thank you. No, oh my God, I can't believe it. He counts it. First of all, yeah, I'm going to steal one of the tickets and then sit next to you at the show. Stupid. Yeah. Oh, there's only 3 here? And then 2 months later, we're at the David Bowie show, and I'm next to him. Hey, aren't you the guy who brought all the tickets back but one was missing? What, me? Oh, I don't know if that's me. So I'm just like, you... So then some time passes. I prank phone call this guy. This prank phone call was like, I was so in the zone on this prank. Did I tape it? Yeah. Do I have a tape of it? I certainly do. Have I listened to it 5,000 times over the course of my life? Yup. I called this guy, and I was questioning whether stuff was fresh at the place. And I was winding this guy up. Oh, my God. This was masterful. It's like, what kind of toppings do you have? And he's naming all the toppings. And it's like, are you sure they're fresh? And he's like, they're fresh. They're fresh. And I'm like, because I got a pizza. It was not good from you. This was, but do I feel bad about it? Eh, this one's not so much. This is not a bad unburdening, but it's something I've never told anyone before. So there you go. A bad one. I remember being probably 8 years old, walking along with a family friend, and he was telling me about how he didn't make the baseball team. He was older than I was, and he was saying how he didn't make it. And I said, it's probably because you weren't good enough. And I do remember him seeming a little hurt by that.
Does it haunt you?
That one haunts me. Like that one straight up haunts me. That I said something that rude to somebody as a kid. Yes, that one haunts me.
So are you sorry? Truly sorry for it?
Yeah. Look, I was dumb. I was a dumb kid. You're doing what a dumb kid did, which was do dumb things. But it was not nice. And that's the kind of thing that I remember people saying mean stuff to me and not forgetting any of it. So to give one of those to somebody is not a great feeling. So there you go. I have unburdened myself.
Well, you know what, Tom?
What?
You are forgiven.
Where is it? See, I'm doing everything here. If Dudia was here, this thing would be queued up.
I mean, you know what, Tom?
What?
You...
Thank you. Keep going.
Okay. 4.
It's got to be on here somewhere.
Give.
It was on the. I don't want to play the dumb album.
Tom, you're killing me.
Please.
I'll just start.
Here. Bah, 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 okay. Bah, here we go.
Bah. Oh, I don't want that.
You are forgiven. You are forgiven.
You are forgiven.
I'm letting all that right. go. That happened.
Good.
Let's see if anybody on the phones have any unburdenings that they want to do. We have Gail Bennington here. Three A's, two N's on Twitter at Gail Ann. Not three A's and two N's in Bennington, because then you're just like, what?
No, that's confusing.
Yeah.
Well, the whole thing's confusing.
Best show.
Oh, Dorian Thomas is President Presley talking from the Fourth Universe.
Oh, my goodness.
What the hell is going on with you people and this President Trump over there watching you on the intercontinental television? Hey, Tom.
Hey, Avalanche Bob. Wait, I know who this is. This is Avalanche Bob.
You got it, man. How you doing?
Gail, do you know who this is?
I don't know Avalanche Bob.
Avalanche Bob is a guy who calls the show. He's a rock and roll pioneer. He has been doing music since the 50s. And he is the inventor of what kind of music, Bob?
Rock-a-dick-a-punk-a-buck-a-dee-da-ba-da-bop. Yodeling punk, rock and roll, snowboarding rock.
It's yodeling snowboard rock.
Okay, good.
So, what's going on, Avalanche Bob?
Hey, Tom, you remember that song I sang on your show of the day that Hate died? Well, I just killed Hate again because I just put that song, because I think it's so important right now, on my Facebook, and I put on there Love Again. Love against the hate, love will win, and something like that. And I put it on there because it's so important right now. Even though it's going to be on the album and with a full instrumental and everything else, I just thought it was so important right now. I put this song on my Facebook, and also on there is some yodeling punk too.
So people can check that out on your Facebook, which is where now?
Robert Kribbe at Facebook.com.
Now, Avalanche Bob, AP Mike, you know he's also a musician like you. He does not have the rock and snowboard sound you have. Mike has the kind of thing that's more like, how'd you get my number, right? Like one of the, like phone solicitor slash how'd you get my number. Like you're ready for him to start heavy breathing is when Mike does a thing. You know what I mean, Avalanche Bob?
Yeah, he puts it out in the universe and putting his music out there, no matter what he does.
God forbid he gets it back. Bayonne's going to be in trouble if it comes back. So, would you in any... What if you were to do a super jam with Mike doing his... Because Mike, of course!
He can go to Maloney's with me on St. Patrick's Day.
He will, yes. Mike, mark this down in your iCal. He has an iCal.
Oh, the bloody stone.
You're going to be at Maloney's with Avalanche Bob on St.
Yep,
Patrick's
I'm going
Day.
To be at Maloney's on St. Patrick's Day, and we're going to do a big show there.
I can't wait. I'll be there too, maybe.
I'd love to see you, Tom.
Thanks, Brian. Wait, oh, St. Patrick's? No, I can't.
Oh.
Fudge. I just looked at my iCal, and I can't do it. Hey, Mike. Remember, you're doing that on St. Patrick's Day. Any chance St. Patrick's Day, Maloney's?
Me?
Yeah, Gail.
Yeah, I can't.
No?
I have so many St. Patrick's Day plans. Just can't even pick one.
Well, you're going to need to wash that wing stink out of your hair finally.
That's going to take some
time.
People are
going to be like, it's been 3 months, Gail. It's time to wash that. Your hair smells like New Jersey hot wings.
It's my signature scent.
So that would be your...
I just dab a little behind the ears, a little on the wrist.
And then people are like, why do you have orange splotches all over your... I see them on your wrist. You have one on each of your wrists. And are they on your neck also?
Yep.
It smells very strong. People are
you
like...
You just need a little.
You just need... And then people would be like, I think you still need less. than what you have. Let's go back to the hot phones. Best show.
Hey, Tom. Hi, Gail. This is Sean in Orange County.
Sean in Orange County, California, right?
That is correct. Last night I was at the Arclight in Hollywood and I saw A Dog's Purpose.
No.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Does how many dogs die in this dumb movie?
Just be honest.
Let me see if I can guess.
Okay.
You said 12.
I said 12 dog deaths, one film.
Too high.
7.
5.
5 dogs. That's 5 too many. Oh, you're comfortable with that? That's horrible. You're just like, oh, that's in my comfort zone. 5 dogs? Yeah, I can watch that.
Well, the first is terrible dog death person. Is just implied.
And they're implied deaths?
No. The first one is implied. Mm-hmm. The rest are trying to make you cry.
Okay. I don't want to watch this movie at all.
I don't want to see it.
Did you know the voice of the dog narrator is Josh Gad?
I do know that.
And it is really creepy and perverse.
What? You sound like Josh Gad, actually.
Oh, God.
Oh, Gad.
Oh, God.
Oh, Gad.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You have a little Gad in your voice there, son.
Oh, hurts me.
Look. Jeez. Do a different voice. But I don't know what to tell you, bro.
I have also seen XXX, Return of Xander Cage.
Which one's better?
And that's... Xander Cage.
Really?
Because that's delightfully stupid.
Yeah. Is he just... At any point in the movie, is he just like... Yeah, this is so much fun. Like, he's so dumb. Look, he seems like Vin Diesel seems like he'd be all right.
How many dogs die in that movie?
Yeah.
Zero.
Zero dogs.
I won't be saying.
How many humans?
Countless.
Speaking of dogs dying in movies, John Wick Part 2 is coming out. Gail, have you seen John Wick Part 1?
I saw some of it. I fell asleep.
What?
I fell asleep.
How can you fall asleep during John Wick?
I put it on really late. Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to energize you. Right?
I think that I was not able to get over,
the one dog.
The one dog.
But do you know what happens in the end of it? Do you want me to tell you? No, the dog doesn't come back to life. Oh. Look, this movie's been out. The sequel's coming out in 2 weeks.
Is it? It's kind of like a sequel to All Dogs Go to Heaven. Wick, right? Like it's the same idea.
It's not as same much premise. Of that, no. Because this is what happens, and I can say this now because everybody's like, "Don't spoil it." You had 3 years.
You had a
to
lot of time.
Find out what happened.
I'm okay
John
with
Wick.
It. But the dog comes back to life.
No, the dog doesn't come back to life. This is what happens. John Wick, in a nutshell, he's a hitman type dude. Gets out of the game, so he could go marry his wife. His wife gets sick. Dies, sends him a dog, from after he dies, he gets a little dog, so there's a piece of him, her got to be with him. These hoodlums want to steal his car, and he won't sell it to them, so they smash into his house, beat him with a pipe, and then they steal his car and then kill his dog. And then for the rest of the movie, he kills everyone. And over in the movie, people are screaming, it was just a car and just a dog. And I got to say, he didn't ask for this. You brought it to his doorstep. If it's just a car, go get your own car. That's John Wick's car. If it's just a dog, you go get your own dog. He mows down every human till he's at the end. He limps, bleeding, into this animal shelter, right? And then he gets he staples himself with dog staples.
Okay.
So he's not going to bleed. Okay. Well, yeah, a dog gets staples.
Okay.
Right? You know a dog can get staples.
Sure,
right?
Yeah, okay.
So it's like a dog, it's not a stapler. It's a it's not a staple gun either. That makes it sound like.
All right.
So he does that to himself, and then he sees his dog in a cage.
What?
And he pops the cage. His dog was ready to get put down. And then the final scene is John Wick and his new dog walking down the street.
That's beautiful.
And really, and they show in the trailer for John Wick Part 2, they show a house blow up. in it.
Oh, no, the dog's in there?
No, but this is the thing. They make a definite point of showing the dog outside the house. So you're just like, oh, they didn't kill his next dog.
Because it would have been like the Taken movies. Whereas it's like, you can't keep getting taken. Come on.
I think you got to stop killing my dogs. This is his eighth. You idiot. That was John Wick's eighth dog. We've killed eight of his dogs.
Can you imagine if John Wick was in a dog's purpose? I mean, with that many dogs.
He should be. I'll tell you this. If John Wick was in a dog's purpose, one dog would die.
That's it. And never again.
The rest of the Dennis dogs. Quaid would have died next in that movie. Not dog number two. It would have been every other human would have died in a dog's purpose. I'm telling you, I don't know what they did to him in John Wick 2. Right? What's he just like? Yeah.
He's mad about the house, I guess, right?
That was my ferret. My ferret was in that house.
He loves pets.
He just like, yeah, like he's just running a pet store. Yeah. And then it's just like, maybe that's a pet store that blew up. I hope not. So, five dogs die.
About. He was so confident before.
Yeah, you were like, five dogs die. Now you're
one employed, you're, and four graphic deaths.
Now you're like, 4 to 8 dogs die in the movie.
It is just a parade of dog deaths. It's very, very
That's
depressing.
Precisely what I was trying to avoid, sir.
Could you imagine 2 for a dog's purpose, right? And then you'd be like, hey, maybe we see XXX Return of Xander Cage a second time rather than a dog's purpose. Thanks for the call. This ghoul, weird guy getting off on the dogs dying.
That trailer came on my TV. I wouldn't even let my dog watch it.
Really?
I turned her little head away. Mm-hmm. And then I just whispered, Birdie, you're never going to die.
Okay, that's weird. But you, Gail Bennington.
Yeah.
There's a thing I'm going to talk about in a second. That you are responsible for something that is one of the most polarizing things on this show over the last 6 months.
Oh my God.
You, over the summer maybe, talked about the Huh Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, I did.
And you plugged these videos and I heard you talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, these are the meanest things I've ever seen. And it's basically high school kids roasting other high school kids in the meanest possible way.
Mm-hmm.
And then going, at the end of it.
Yeah.
Pat just went, oh, Pat hates it so much.
Why?
So, because inspired by that, I strung together, I removed all the insults and just put the Huhs together.
Oh, good.
And if you wanted to know what, and I've been playing it, and people, Pat hates it so much. Let's see, where's the sound clip here? Here's Coach K saying that Bobby Hurley had diarrhea, which is why he left the court. Hold on.
Well, he came up to me and says, Coach, I got diarrhea.
Could you imagine you play for a college basketball program and the coach tells the nation that the reason you ran off the court because you went up to him like, Coach, I got diarrhea. And then he just tells the sideline guy, well, he came up to me and said, Coach, I got diarrhea. Like, you couldn't soften that at all. Let's see. Where is it here? Here we go.
All right.
This is what it sounds like when you remove
the insults.
All the insults in it. Now it's on a loop, and then here's a second set of them. People hate that so much.
I don't know why. I really don't know why.
So if you want to blame Pat, you blame Gail. You know, your name is not Pat anymore, by the way. You know what it is now? Wingman. Wingman.
My name's Pat, and I love wings.
That's what it really. I do appreciate you pulling your head away from the mic without doing.
That's a pro for you.
Horrifying.
That's a pro for you.
That's the thing. Under 2 years in the biz, you pull your you pulled your head away from the mic rather than shriek.
Oh yeah.
Wingman. See, Dudio got his nickname, the dude who built the studio. Dudio, you think he wanted that?
It is a pretty cool name.
You think it kind of is though. You think AP Mike wanted his nickname? Snooze? Oh wait, that's the one he doesn't know. That's the behind the back nickname. Sorry, Mike. Look, Mike, I didn't start Snooze. They did. And when I say they, I'm still trying to get to the bottom of it. And if I figure out who started this Snooze thing, I'm telling you right now, first thing I do, Mike, I'm wrapping them right in the nose. Right? I'm going to, you know what I'm going to do? Show them their own blood. It's the first thing you do, Mike. You show them their own blood and they can't handle it. But now we got Wingman. Do you like that nickname, Pat? No, he doesn't. Well, you know what I don't like? The stink of buffalo wings that will be permeating the studio until Easter. Because in January, you got a hankering for some wings. And now my studio stinks like I'm running... Like I'm working on the boardwalk.
Somehow it's getting stronger.
I think it is.
Like there, I can't breathe.
2 hours ago, he said there was one wing left. How is it getting stronger?
I want to say it wasn't worth it.
What's that, Wingman?
It was worth it.
It was good. I'm glad it was. Do you mind, Wingman? What do you? Would you rather I do? I could either never play the Ha Challenge audio again, or make sure this Wingman thing gets nipped in the bud.
All right, there's 20 minutes left in the show. Can I think about it?
Think about it. Right. One of the two will happen.
One or two.
Yes. They're both going to keep happening.
I'm pulling for Ha Challenge to stay.
It's going to stay. Don't worry.
Because then I'll just call him Ha.
You call him Ha. We'll call him the Ha Challenge Killer. Right? So his nickname will change. Party Pooper. Best show.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, yes, I have a burden.
Sorry, what's that now?
I have a burden.
You have a burden, and you
yes,
want to
sir.
Be unburdened.
Yes, sir.
Let's hear this burden, young man.
Okay, and this is, it's Jay, by the way.
Hi, Jay. You're here with Gail.
Hi, Jay.
Hello, Gail. This happened 26 years ago. Ninth grade, drama club.
Where are we now? Where in America are we, Jay?
Oh, this is in Cooper City, Florida. South Florida.
Gail country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The motherland.
Gail grew up in Florida.
Oh, yeah. I was there until I was... just before I turned 16 and came up to Georgia.
Moving on up.
Sideways move.
Yeah. I left, I moved up to the South because that was not the South down
sure.
there.
Florida's its own thing.
Yeah. So you went up to the South.
I was raised like like half Puerto Rican, half Jewish, but it was not the South.
Okay. So you're in drama club.
I'm in drama club, ninth grade, and we put on now I can't speak.
You got it. Don't worry.
A Christmas Carol. And I didn't get a main role, but I had a couple parts. I was Peter Cratchit. And
Peter
also,
Cratchit?
I was Peter Cratchit.
Who's Peter
and also,
Cratchit?
Peter Cratchit, that's the son who lives
okay.
in the Christmas
gotcha.
Future who, like, read the Bible verse and say, oh, we all missed him.
Tiny Tim's older brother, Peter
Cratchit. Right. Gotcha. And I was also young Scrooge. mm-hmm. like the young adult Scrooge.
Mm-hmm.
And we ran the show for about four nights that week, and on the last night, it was the scene where Belle comes to Scrooge to tell him that, you know, obviously you don't care about me anymore. You're all about money. Here's your ring back. I'm through with you. And what happened is, for some reason, I thought the next line was Belle's line. But it was my line next.
Okay.
So I wasn't saying anything, and I was sitting there looking at her, waiting for her. Like, my memory had, I guess, had jumped over my line, and I was waiting for her to talk.
Sure.
And she's looking at me, waiting for me to talk. And I have no idea how long it actually lasted, however many seconds or hours, that there was silence. And over on the other side of the stage, Dave, who was playing Scrooge, saw what was happening and said, "Oh, spirit, take me away from this." And they did a blackout.
Yeah.
Mercifully, you know, blackout. And we, you know, and we left the stage. And I don't know when it came up, because I had another role and everyone was moving around all the time. So I don't know when it came up, but by the time the play was done that night, the girl who was playing Belle came up to me and told me, you know, what happened, and I do not remember what I said. Not exactly, but just like, mm-hmm. it was my line. I thought it was your line, you know, and she told me that was her favorite scene, and the speech that she would give, that she didn't get to give, and that her parents were there, because it was the last, it was Friday night, it was the last night, and she didn't get to do the scene that she really loved doing.
Oh.
Yeah, and I didn't know her very well, but it's not like she didn't like, give me a cold shoulder the rest of the school year or anything.
So you've been haunted by this for 29 years that you took her moment from her.
Yeah, and it's just it didn't come up again, and I was just like, "Oh, I'm sorry, you know, that was misunderstanding." But she said that was, you know, I really wanted to do that speech. My parents were out there.
So there's no good guy, there's no bad guy here. It's not like you messed up.
Yeah,
but you can't get it off your conscience, can you? Right?
But in fact, that she told me that I lost it. And my parents didn't get to see me do the scene that I love doing. Mm. And again, no one ever brought it up to me again.
It's almost like that thing where if a parent says, "I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed."
Disappointed. And since December 1989, it's one of the, I had to pick one because whenever.
What's your name again, whenever Junior?
Jay.
Jay?
Well, yeah.
Maybe Jay might be short for Junior, so I'm actually going to stick to Jay?
No, it's Jay, yeah.
Okay, all right, well. Jay?
Yes, sir.
You've been haunted by this for a long time.
Like Scrooge. Yeah, but you know, it all fits.
But you want to know what, Jay?
What's that?
Take a deep breath in and hold it. Hold it. Right? You didn't hold it.
I'm holding it.
Well, you're not, because you just said you're holding it. You can't talk and hold that. Okay. Now slowly exhale. Exhale!
I am.
How come you didn't go? So we can
go
here.
Quiet.
All right. You've got it out of your system now, Jay. Jay?
Yes.
It's out. Let it go. You were a dummy. You messed up on stage. You're not an actor. You're not a professional. You blew it. That girl doesn't even remember this moment. Her parents don't remember this. You've been carrying this thing. No one else remembers this. Right?
Nope.
Right, Gail?
Nope.
That's true.
1989.
What would you say to this guy, Gail?
I would say, is there any possibility you could get a reunion?
I don't like this.
Everybody takes the same roles, and you and her reenact the same scene you never got to do.
That sounds like...
I would actually, I'd love to.
I think it's a great idea. Facebook, find her.
I don't like that idea.
I don't think it's possible.
She's out there and she wants to do the scene, I bet.
I realized not too long after that I wasn't going to be an actor and I had to find something else to do.
Yeah.
She's not at home saying right now, if only I had... That's like a bad movie is what that's
called. Right, Jay, you can do it.
Jay?
Yes.
Who are you going to listen to? Your old pal Tom or this...
This lady over here. This lady you don't know.
Unsteady raw dog.
I'll give you precedence.
Thank you. I'm not raw, Jay. You know that.
Yes, I know.
I feel like my answer was anything but raw, but deep down, sensitive, sweet.
No, okay. I think that Gail has a message.
And I think we should do
closure.
This show here on The Best Show, and Tom will play the part of Scrooge.
I don't know.
No!
He's going to make it happen. And you'll pay for their travel as well, Tom? And per diem for each of them,
okay,
please.
Per diem. Just a $35 a day per diem, though. Nothing.
Jay, you'll do it, won't you, Jay?
Tom still exists. Couldn't find her.
All right, Jay.
Away,
Jay?
Spirit.
Yes, sir.
No. Jay?
Yes.
You've been carrying this for so long, but Jay, you are forgiven.
Thank you.
See, that's the kind of stuff we can do
when
the proud lion hangs it up. When he hangs that microphone, when he hangs those headphones up finally. Right?
Yeah, I just kind of feel like you didn't take my suggestion.
This is what I picture happening.
It would have been great radio.
On a Friday, I'm going to get a call from you. Mm-hmm. You're going to say, proud lion's hanging it up. Be here Monday at noon. Right?
Would we call it the Bestington Show?
No, you call it
Bennington. The Bestington Show.
You call it Bennington. I'll just be one of the dimwits, one of the satellite dimwits. Right?
All right.
Best show.
Hi, my name's Kelly. I'm calling from Cary, North Carolina. I've called once before, but I had something for the topic tonight. I had a burden as well. Sorry, I'm really nervous for calling.
Kelly, first of all, relax. I'm here. I'm not going to be mean to you. We're here to help you unburden yourself. This is not a mean thing. Look, if you were calling Channel 99 on Sirius XM, God knows what they would say to you, do to you there. You're not.
All
you're calling the best show.
Cusses.
Yeah. They'd say... You'd probably say, I have an unburdening, and they would just say something like, you ever see vomit? Right? They would just say, like, vomit. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that bra store just opened?
Bra?
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Selling bras all day, all night. Brought nothing but bras.
This guy's a real jerk. You're going to take advice from him?
Now, Kelly,
mm-hmm.
What's the story?
Well, this has been kind of an interesting year for me, and I got inspired by the girl who called from the next town over from Raleigh earlier. I was also diagnosed with something this year, but it's a little more... mental. They diagnosed me with bipolar disorder this year, and I've been thinking over my life and everything I've really done and how my best friend, I don't know how she puts up with me because every time something happens, she's always the one who has to catch me, and I feel like I've been the biggest jerk to her because she's had to basically hold me up through all of this and all me trying to fix like that. And though she's told me, no, it's fine, no, it's okay, I still feel like I've burdened her, and that's just been kind of something that's been sitting on my back for, you know, now for months. And I know that's kind of like the most like heavy thing I could probably say, but yeah.
Kelly, it's all right. Do you talk to your friend about this stuff?
Mm-hmm. I mean, she was actually over here earlier. We're working on, she's the person I make costumes with, and we work on stuff. So we're always working together, and we're here, like, she's basically like my sister. We've known each other for 11 years, but I feel like she takes the brunt of everything because she's so close to me.
Well, you know what? You got diagnosed. Are you taking care of yourself?
Oh, yeah, I'm seeing two different doctors for everything. I'm actually about to be in a study for stuff, too.
All right, well, look, you're taking care of it, so you take care. She knows that. She knows that. You were hanging out with her tonight. She knows you're taking care of it. She knows you're not perfect. Just what you can do is to keep taking care of it and keep working on it and keep getting better. And that's what you can do, and you just tell her how important she is to you, and that you understand that she's a human too, and it might not always be easy, but you're doing the work.
Thank you. That means a lot.
Look, you keep doing it, Kelly. You are. And I'm not going to let this raw dog talk enter this one. This is nice stuff that happens on the best show. I don't want to hear talk about a urinal cake into the middle of this moment.
Plus, I couldn't really work in a reenactment of a play into this one.
You're
racking the brain, but I couldn't get it.
Yeah. Kelly, you are forgiven.
Hey, thank you so, so much. You have a good night.
You take care. Bye.
Bye. You are forgiven.
Did you ever see them do this? Did you ever see the video on this?
No, I've never.
The greatest thing ever.
Tom, I feel like everyone's been unburdened but me.
Look, we're getting there. We're getting there.
It's just like, it's like weighing on me.
Don't worry. Hold on, I'm just listening to Mike talk out there.
They're having a real chit-chat out there.
He's screening calls.
Oh,
shapes the calls. He looks at himself as kind of like the Michelangelo of the show.
It's going to be really interesting when we Freaky Friday our staff.
So who would be screening calls then?
So that would be Jen would be screening calls.
She'd be screening. She'd be like, do you want to talk about Vinny?
Yeah.
She'd be like, so the topic is
Vinny related.
Jersey Shore alumni. And the cooking shows that they're on with their parents. What do you have for the topic? So she'd be screening calls.
Yeah.
Who would be handling all the tech stuff?
I would imagine this would be Vito would be okay. In.
He seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, he is a great fella.
Yeah.
And as.
So Mike is Jen.
Mike is Jen. In this circumstance. Pat would be Vito, right?
I think Dudio would be Vito.
Oh, Dudio would be Vito.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that makes Wingman is who?
Wingman would be Chris Stanley.
Chris Stanley. This this prevert who's doing God knows what. I hear these things and I...
He claims to be having a lot of consensual LMing.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's what he's saying.
Because he's a single...
He's a single guy. Man, he's out on the town.
Yeah.
And he's doing well for himself.
Can you imagine?
In fact, I think he's on a date right now. Oh. As we
Oh, goody.
Speak. Picture it.
Picture your...
Mm-hmm.
You swiped. Which way do you swipe when it's positive?
You swipe right mm-hmm. when you like it mm-hmm. and left when you don't.
So you swiped right. And then you're like, what? Hey, let's meet at that wing place in New Jersey.
Yeah, obviously. Let's meet at Atomic Wings.
Right. Let's meet at Atomic Wings. And then you're there sitting. And then suddenly he's in the doorway. and then you're like looking down at the picture and like trying to like, have you seen the picture he uses?
I have, yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's a picture of him. He's very niced up, and it's like it's like a split screen, and he's on one side, and on the other, it's Jackie Gleason.
Oh.
As a comparison, like as though he looks like a young Jackie Gleason.
Sure. Well, what a. This is the thing, Chris,
mm-hmm.
on the show. The thing, the reason he would be like Mike,
yeah, though,
is because. Both of them hawk garbage. Mike has this apmike.bandcamp.com where you get these masses shirts. And yeah. Chris sells these dumb, this dumb merch. The one shirt I bought,
It
fell apart while I was wearing it.
What'd you do to it?
I just put it on and it started crumbling.
Hmm.
And then I washed my car with it.
Oh, that's right? Something.
And ruined my car.
Oh, God.
Yeah. A day later, my car crashed.
But it was a good product overall.
Overall, it was a satisfying shopping experience, yes. Good. But
yeah, they probably would be the more official switch.
Yeah, because Mike has this stuff over at apmike.bandcamp.com. I'm going to see if I can get you a headshot. How's that?
I would love that. I would absolutely love that. Because, you know, I wanted to ask earlier, but I was a little shy.
Do you have any here, Mike? Why not?
What?
Modesty. All right. Best show.
How's it going, Tom?
Oh, I know who this is. Oh. This, Gail, is Fred from Honolulu.
Oh, no.
Right?
Can't do an anonymous one now.
Yeah, you can't. Well, I know it's you because you call at the end of the show every time. Apparently.
I'm sorry.
You That's kind of a giveaway that it's you.
Work ran long today, Tom.
Look, let's we can strip the mystery this way. I work with Fred now. And I want to say this. It's a joy
How are you?
Well, that's
I'm all right.
It's a joy seeing Fred every day. It really is. It's a lot of fun. He's fun to hang out with in the office.
More fun to boss around, too.
How do I boss you around?
I'm joking.
You're very bossy.
Am I bossy? Not at all.
Not at all.
But I will say this, Fred.
Mm-hmm.
You ever see in Spinal Tap the Stonehenge?
Yes.
when they thought that the Stonehenge was going to be this huge thing, and then it's this tiny little thing?
Right.
I don't have a desk. I have like a table. So there's no drawer.
He has a loft office.
Fred, it doesn't matter how high or low it is. it doesn't have a desk in it. I didn't design the place for myself. I wasn't sitting here with
everyone.
My blueprint saying like, and I'm going to give me this whole thing. So build it the way I want it built. No. It gets, so I say to Fred, Fred's like, what do you need for the office? I'm like, I could use some like portable drawers, like you get them from like a office supply place. Yeah. So Fred's like, all right.
And yeah, I was going to get roasted for this.
Yeah. And you should be. Because you flopped so hard on this.
Oh.
So he shows me a picture of him. I'm like, yeah, that looks good. Then I come into my office. Yesterday, and on my, I see there's something set up on the table that is probably this high and this wide. It's probably 6 inches high, 6 inches wide, 6 inches deep, as if I was keeping jewelry in it. Maybe I could probably fit like a dozen rings in one of the drawers.
For a dollhouse.
Yeah, for a dollhouse. And I'm like, wait. I was like, what's this doing on my desk? I'm like, wait, are these the drawers Fred ordered for me? These little dollhouse drawers?
I came in on my day off to build it.
Yeah. Well, what was your day off?
Friday.
And what was Friday? I forgot. Was that a...
No.
Friday was what? Why was that? Was that a national holiday Friday?
Okay.
Why was that a day off, or was it just a day where the writers weren't working? It's not a day. It was a weekday, Fred. You went in.
It was Tom's protest.
Stop
day.
Crying, Fred. Look, and then I'm not even going to talk about the stuff the march he was selling people.
What's
right?
That?
He sold those hats. He was selling those hats, but he had a string attached to him. He'd pull them right off. Like people would buy those, like those cat hats.
Yeah, you can't say. Oh, right.
Well, whatever. They'd walk away,
taking
not,
the word back,
not
Tom.
Realizing there's a string on it.
Are you so afraid? And
I'm not afraid. I just. I don't care. But this guy would sell them. These marchers would walk away, and then he'd pull the thing. 20 feet goes off their head. He resells it again.
You're punking people at the Women's March? That's unscrupulous.
And then
you have
know
no scruples, is what I'm saying.
And you know what he did with that money? I don't know. I'm asking.
Oh, you know I don't know money. What he did.
Because I don't even want to know. I don't even want to know. Fred, do you have something you want to unburden yourself
yeah,
with
definitely.
Outside of the...
I definitely have something to unburden.
The drawer fiasco? Where I can keep up to 3 pens in that one drawer you built. What do you want to unburden yourself with, Fred?
All right, so...
I'm looking on Twitter right now. Just so you know, Fred, before you start, I'm looking at Twitter right now, and I just see... Fred is my least favorite caller. I just see I'm looking at some of the things here. Why is this guy on again? Hashtag UGG. I'd rather hear the Huh Challenge on an endless loop than hear 5 seconds of Fred.
It doesn't sound so bad.
I want to hear Avalanche Bob's thoughts on 9/11.
All right, Fred. Go ahead, Fred.
So I grew up in the Philippines, and there are like 3 channels. One was run by the conservative media. One was run by the liberal media. But the 3rd channel played American programs. So it was very limited. It would only play 3. The only things I could watch on that was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Simpsons, and they would play a show called Rescue 911. Have you heard of that?
Sure, with Robert Stack as the host?
Yeah, the one where they would recreate 911 calls.
Yeah.
And they would So that was, like, amazing to me. That was, like, one of my favorite shows. And when I moved to America, I didn't believe that 911 was real. Like, it's like, there's no way, like, a hero would come to your house and help you. Mm-hmm. So I waited till my cousin, who was a troublemaker, was staying at our house. And I visited his house because I didn't want to do it in my own house. And I called 911,
uh-huh.
And it worked.
And how did you find out it worked?
This lady picked up and she said, 911, how can I help you? Which is exactly what happened in the
on
show.
TV. And what did you say to her?
I immediately dropped the phone.
Okay.
And I was so scared. I was like, what did I just do? You know? And then hi, hello. And then I just dropped the phone. And then 911 immediately calls back.
Because they think something's wrong over there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So they keep calling back. They keep calling back until this is the weekend and my uncle picks up.
Yeah.
And my uncle's a hard man. He's like a major in the Air Force. Mm-hmm. And like he picks up, he like talks to the 911 dispatcher who tells her, he's like, I heard the voice of a child. Is something wrong? Mm-hmm. And my uncle's like freaked out. So it's going like he does everything but check like the living room. He like goes outside. He's like running around looking for us. And then he finds me and my cousin just like playing or whatever. And he grabs us and checks what's going on. Is everything okay? Do you guys call 911? And I completely feign ignorance. It's like, what are you talking about? I literally played like the provincial immigrant. Like, I don't understand what's going on. And my uncle talks to the dispatcher, drops the phone, and he immediately blames my cousin. And I watch my cousin get slapped around.
Oh, that's really
bad. No. I thought at first, it's like, boy, Fred doesn't understand what unburdened means here, because he called 911 and then hung up, and it was But yeah, now you watched your cousin get beat.
Yeah, he got beat. Fred, like, it's not funny. Like, he's like,
no, this is terrible. This is not funny.
Yeah, and like, because he was like, yeah, he was like, he was like, you know, it was whatever. Like, for me, he was a dry blood or something like that. But like, yeah,
now,
but he like, yeah, go ahead.
Is your cousin? Where's your cousin now?
my cousin is a world champion hula dancer. He won twice. Mm-hmm. He's an entertainer.
And have you talked about this incident with your cousin?
No, he does not know this. He does not know that it was me.
Well.
When that was mine.
This is the one thing I'm a little worried about, Fred. You know that there's a lot of hula dancers who listen to this show. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of world-class hula dancers.
It's like your target audience.
Yeah, pretty much. It's not comedy nerds. It's hula. It's world caliber hula dancers listening. So, Fred, I think you're going to have to mention it to your cousin.
That's not happening.
Why not?
It was one of those things where, like, that was the only time. Like, my cousin is like a liar, and like, he's like very. Like, he just gets into trouble. That's all he does. And this is, like, one of the... Like, every time he messes up, he deserves it. I'm fairly sure in our childhood, this was the only time he truly didn't deserve getting slapped.
Uh-huh. So,
and,
you don't see anything that you could just... There's nothing to just unburden yourself with this, though. That has nothing to do with how good or bad your cousin is.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing makes you just want to go just for the general mental health. I'm going to tell my cousin what I did.
Nah, dude, that's why I moved 5,000 miles away.
So you're not unburdening. This does not sound like an unburdening. It sounds like you wanted to call and turn your cousin getting beat into a comedy routine. So, I mean, that's fair, if that's your idea of humor. I don't know.
All right.
You might want to, Fred, I might recommend you get a SiriusXM subscription and check out 99, the channel. You sound like a raw dog. Fred, I think you're a raw dog.
We're happy to have you, Fred.
Yeah, beating children. Right? Right? Hey, you guys hear about that toilet? No, I didn't, but I heard this guy's on the phone right now. He's going to talk about his cousin getting beat. Then we're going to go live to the bra store. Fred.
Yep.
You don't want to talk to your cousin? That's fine. I get it.
Nah.
But you want to know what?
What's up, man?
First of all kidding aside, you know I love you, Fred. What? That, you don't say anything to that? I said I'd love you.
I didn't hear you. Come out. What's going on?
I said, Fred, you know I love you.
Oh, of course, Tom. I love you too, man.
Okay. Secondly, you're a good guy.
Thank you.
And above all, you are forgiven!
Yeah!
So, burden wise, you, Gail.
Yes.
Did we talk about your burden?
No, we haven't.
No, we haven't. I think this. Let's hear it.
All right. In the late 90s.
Okay. The go-go late 90s.
I was a youngster, and I was, you know, experimenting with some bad genres of music. It happens when you're young, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of them I regret, and some of them I don't. But I was, you know, I went, obviously, I liked, I went through a pop punk phase. Mm-hmm. That led to, like, a ska phase.
Sure.
There was reggae. I cared for Sublime more than I care to really share with you. Mm-hmm. But among some of these bands that I would be, like, less than proud to admit.
Yeah.
One of them was a band called Zebrahead.
Zebrahead.
And I don't think that they ever got, you know, like a... I think they might have had some radio play. I can't even remember how I had come across them, but okay. I had their record.
All right.
Okay.
Is this like a Florida thing?
I can't even remember. They might have been from Florida, but they were like kind of pop punky, but they had some, and this is a part that I'm not so proud to share, a little bit of a rap rock influence also mixed in. Okay.
Like.
So I had this record, right? Mm. And this was when I was in Florida.
Let me just set the soundtrack for you for this.
Well, okay? No, don't, because I'm going to get there. Okay.
I'm not going to play Zebrahead.
No, don't. Right. I mean, we should listen to some Zebrahead afterwards.
Okay.
So this is what happened. Mm-hmm. So this is a few years before I moved to New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Little Florida girl comes to the big city. Okay. Oh, my God, the lights, all the people. It's very exciting.
Yeah.
I go to a new school. I'm meeting people of all kinds who are just, like, from every walk of life. It's like the world became in color to me suddenly. Mm-hmm. So I was about, like, 14 years old. So in my school, in my new school that I went to in Manhattan, there was this group of kids who always hung outside. And they would freestyle rap. And so they'd always be out there and they'd be like freestyle rapping, okay? So this is like years after I had, you know, listened to this music. So me and my friends used to hang out on the same corner and they would be there. And we'd often be listening to them, hanging out with them. We were kind of friends with them. But certainly it was a spectator sport.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so one day I'm sitting there and... One of the kids is like, yo, you should get in on this.
No,
you should get in on this. You're always hanging out. You should freestyle with us.
Yeah.
So I was like, nah, I don't know how to do that. And he's like, come on, just try.
Yeah.
Just try.
Yeah.
So I have a funny idea.
Yeah.
In my mind.
Okay.
And of Zebrahead. Yeah. And I think it's going to be hilarious. Because they're never gonna know. Yeah. First of all, I don't even think any white people would know this. I mean, like, I don't think, you know what I mean? But I knew that they would not know this song. So they're like, come on, come over here. So they're like, you know, like throwing down the beat.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm acting like I'm kind of thinking for a second. It's a slow play.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like the Eminem when he was in that thing and they would be like, going back and forth freestyling, he would kind of have to like think about it for a moment, and then he would jump into it. So they're like doing, they're like, P-p-ch. So I like just jump into it, and I'm like, I got game like Kobe, act like you know me. If you rhyme better than kid, just show me. Fly by wrecking, never come a second. Fist in my pocket, my words are my weapons. Ghetto blast thumping, girlies are bumping. Gotta get the dough like that man Donald Trump and set this emotion. Jaws in the ocean. If you got the rhyme, then kid, I got the potion. And they immediately were like, what? What?
People thought you were...
So I was like laughing and I was thinking it was really funny. But the thing is, it felt very good. And they were like, that you just made that up just now? And I was like, yeah, it's like kind of crazy, right?
So it's like the squid and the whale.
But I thought.
You like, squid and the whale these
but
guys.
But I thought that I was eventually going to be like, guys, I was just playing this a terrible rap rock song from the late 90s, don't you know, Zebrahead guy? But the thing was, it felt so good, Tom. They were cheering me on.
Yeah. And you didn't tell them, did you?
I couldn't.
No.
Because it felt so good, Tom. And
so
then
now,
later, here's the worst thing. So then later, they would be like, oh, you like seriously, she's really good. Yeah. Like what? And I would always be like, nah, it's cool.
Yeah.
Now, during this time that I was pushing them off, could I have maybe taken up a skill, maybe wrote something of my own?
No,
I wouldn't. And the worst part is then it became stuff of legend. So then they would introduce me to other, like they'd be like, this girl's like a freestyle rapper. She's actually really good. And I'm like, oh no, this lie's been going on for like 3 years. It was a Zebrahead song.
Oh no. Well, Gail, this is truly skin crawling.
It's so bad. And it was a joke, but it was a joke that I couldn't undo.
But you want to know what, Gail?
What, Tom?
You are not forgiven. No. I'm not gonna play that.
not Zebrahead, by the way.
No, that was... Where is this? Hold on. Where is it? Got to do everything. Dudio would have had this so tight. Not with these
I
guys.
I miss him.
Just listen to this one, man. I'll be right back. One second.
Felt great.
But you know what? I'm not going to do that. The worst. Durst. Is it funny? Because he's from Florida, right?
I think he is, actually.
Yeah. Where is it? Oh, Dudio.
We miss you, Dudio.
God knows where he is. Right? Where is he, Wingman? Wingman, where's Dudio? What's that? Which one do you want, Wingman?
Make your pick.
Think about it.
Think hard.
You know this is tough, right? Cause
it's either your nickname does not become Wingman, and you just go back to Pat, or... this is never heard on the show again. What do you think, Wingman? I'll say this. I don't play this that often.
It's true.
It started to fade on the show. Wingman will start off strong.
I know it will.
And will
I'd like to point out that something got knocked over while yeah. Tom was playing that, and I was bucking around.
The bulletin board got knocked over.
All right, look. I heard from a few people tonight mm-hmm. on text, on Twitter, telling me how much they hate, how much they also hate that sound.
Uh-huh. Really?
Yeah. I don't know. I think it because it takes them back to maybe high school themselves. For mm-hmm. me, it does. Now, the new name, this is tough because I have to be like a martyr now, right? Mm-hmm. This is, I have to.
Sure.
I have to help others. And if mm-hmm. I don't.
Yeah, it's Christ-like.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say it. I know you didn't want to say it. I'll say it.
I didn't know if you could use that word on the show.
Well, it's after midnight, so I can
oh, okay. Yeah, after gotcha. Midnight.
Like on Raw, like it would be like, you would say like, wee wee, right? Hey, anybody see that toilet? What if anybody's going to go
why are we looking at so many toilets?
It's your show. You tell me. I don't know. Every time I turn it on, it's just like.
It's a toilet segment.
Anybody hear about, anybody see that underwear? Yeah, Raw Dog coming back at you.
I also feel that if I say...
What's it going to be, boy?
I also huh? think that
yes
if,
no?
I, if I choose to not take the name, it's going to happen anyway.
Uh-huh.
So I might as well just say, don't ever play that that sound ever again. I'll take the name. I'll take the name.
Well, I'm going to say this.
Mike's applauding.
Snooze is applauding.
Everyone gets a nickname now.
Pat.
Yeah.
A.K.A. I don't want to call you Pat. It's Wingman. Uh-huh. All right, Wingman. Wingman's cool, though. It's like Top Gun. It has like a Top Gun vibe to it.
Your wingman.
It's like Top Gun with celery.
Yeah, we didn't get any celery.
I miss the haw already, though. I really do.
Martine and I almost got a big bucket of chicken instead. Mm-hmm. What would it have been then?
Buckethead.
Oh, yeah.
Mike just said Buckethead. All right.
There's still next week.
Let's take a cut. Okay. Look, I don't want people. I'm going to say this right now, and I mean this.
Mm-hmm.
Any of you listening, if any of you call this guy wingman, I am not going to be happy with it. You don't do it. You don't call him wingman. It's not his nickname. Don't do it. Don't call Pat wingman. Whatever you do, don't call Pat wingman. Okay. Oh, shut up, Mike. T-shirts. This guy with his shirts.
That's right. I can make some money.
Low rent. Go to the Patreon page. Give to that. The best show. Everybody's got one of your dumb masses shirts already. And the headshot. Take a couple more calls, then we'll wrap it up. Thanks, Pat. Pat is your name.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Best show.
Hey, it's Randall from Dallas.
Randall, let's hear it. You got something for the topic?
Yes, I do.
An unburdening.
And okay.
Let me just say, though, officially, Gail.
Yes. Oh, thank you.
For ripping off zebra head.
Thank you. And lying to a group of talented young people.
Yeah, I think you owe the members of zebra head royalties. First of all,
I agree.
Performance fees.
And I owe them an apology for thinking that I was better than I was and had a skill set and allowed that rumor to spread, a positive rumor about myself.
Yeah. But do you want to know what the punishment for you will ultimately be?
What will it be?
Is that there is clean audio of you doing that that can be cut any which way by anyone. Anything can be put underneath that. That now you. Yeah. So.
That's what it takes to be unburdened. Yeah, you know what I mean? I was willing to release it into the world.
Do you think I wanted to tell the story about telling the kid he wasn't good at baseball? It's haunted me my whole life.
It's really mean.
Yeah, maybe you weren't any good. It was mean. Randall, what do you got?
So about 20 years ago, I lived in Seattle, and this thing I did part-time, I did merch and some other stuff for this band called Zeke. And Zeke had a famous Seattle musician that was a fan of them, this guy named Eddie Vedder. I believe you've heard of him.
Sure, I have. Mm-mm.
So Pearl Jam had, you know, done, I don't remember what album it was that they had, you know, toured the world for. They're coming back to Seattle. It's the homecoming show. And they choose Zeke to open. And it's like, it's a football stadium. There's like 50,000 people at the show. So after the show, we all end up in Pearl Jam's dressing room. And we're all hanging out and everything. And so this is the only time I've ever seen Pearl Jam live. And, you know, I get that everybody dogs on them and everything, but they were like really good live, or at least that night they were. So as we're leaving, I go up to Eddie Vedder and I just said, you know, I've never been a fan of your band. I like some of the songs, you know, they come on the radio. I'll listen to them. Some of them, I immediately flip the station. But I just want you to know that your records are not doing justice to your live show. And so I'm not saying I'm going to go out and buy your records, but if you ever put a live record out, I'll pick it up.
Yikes.
Yeah, and then to punish you, they put out every show became a live record. They put out 200 of them.
Yes.
Did you go up to him and say that you'd buy every live album? Because I think you're going to have to go buy every one of those Pearl Jam CDs.
Yes, I have not seen him since then, so I have been unable to verify if I actually put that, the seed of that whole hundreds and hundreds of, you know, like every show being released as a live album.
Yeah.
But
so you felt
in my heart, I feel like I am responsible.
You felt what by saying that to him? You felt what?
I felt that, you know, it was kind of like, I was kind of giving him some crap about his band, but then also trying to, you know, say, you know, give them a compliment too. But, you know, like I said, I thought that they were really good live. They were a lot better live than they sound on their records.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he don't need to hear that backstage at his own show that he sold out. I did. I went to a show. A friend of mine had sold out a huge show, career triumph thing, doing stand up, and we go backstage, and there's this one person brings another person with them who's in a band, and that person starts saying stuff like saying, "Well, you know, it wasn't that funny," or like trying to bust chops, and it's like, he just sold out this huge show. It's like, why? What are you doing? You don't know him. Why are you teasing him? Oh, right. So mad. I'm not naming names. People know the person. People know the band also. Not a good scene. So, Randall, you blew it. You said to Eddie Vedder, your records aren't very good. But you know what? You were telling the truth because they're not. That's not a very good band. But you are forgiven.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, buddy. Final calls here on The Best Show. No more new calls, Mike. You hear that? Mike? What did I just say? No more new calls. That's right. You heard correct. Best Show.
Hey, Tom. This is Lee. I'm calling from Trujillo, Honduras.
Lee?
Yes.
You're in Honduras.
Yes,
see,
I am.
See, this is the kind of call we get here. I get a Honduras call. Like on Raw Dog, I know it's a fair amount of night watchmen and
night watchmen
and truckers, right?
Get Canadians, right. You know,
like a fair amount cool. of like people who are just like driving forklifts, or like they're watching.
Tom Sharpling going on record is disrespecting those who drive forklifts. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen, well, on his own show.
First of all,
I'm reporting live from Tom's show.
You didn't. I didn't know you were a reporter.
Huh? I didn't know you were, knew that I wrote for the Huffington Post, didn't you?
I don't know who you're a reporter for. And generally, you have to rub your. Oh, you're writing the things down. Okay. Well, that seems very reporterish. The way you're fake scribbling on that Post-it note. It's not the first time I've done that. You said it's an exclusive. It's not an exclusive. There's about 80 examples of it over. Anybody can go to the archives and hear multiple things of me putting down.
Why do you
forklift
hate
drivers?
Why do you hate forklifts so much?
They scare me with that up down motion. Mm. I don't think they have control over the thing.
The working man. That's what you're saying.
Well, look, I'm no different than this working man. I am that. I'm Joe Lunchpail. I don't come from the fancy stock you come from.
Carny people, you mean?
That's what you call it. Carny people, right? I come from low stock. But I'm doing it. I'm doing whatever I can to pull me and my gene pool out of the gutter, gal. I didn't start off high. I'm not going down. I'm going up.
Yeah.
And look, you come from radio royalty. 2 years in and you're already, you know, to pull your head away when you do the huh challenge.
Pro.
That's hardwired. That was hardwired. You could have been four and you would have pulled your head away.
I think I
away.
Was.
Yeah, you would have pulled your
out.
Head away. So, Lee, what's going on in Honduras tonight?
I'm looking at a restaurant right now. I've only been here for 10 days. And on the beach. Very nice. It's a breeze.
All right. And do you have something you want to unburden yourself of?
I do. Okay. So I guess it's about a year ago now. I was at the High Tone in Memphis. And
the High Tone in Memphis.
That's right. I think Ty Siegel and the Emotional Muggers.
Yes, Ty Siegel. Friend of the Best Show, Ty Siegel.
You've been to that venue before, so you know that the musicians walk around before the show.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of amongst the crowd.
Yeah.
And so I had talked to him before briefly. He's one of my favorite musicians.
Sure.
And I told him, I said, oh, you've inspired me to make music, and I gave him a card that I had of my, that I made for my band.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, thank you so much. You really meant stuff. And so I was at the bar, and I was standing at the bar, and he walked up right next to me, and I was like, oh, man, this guy's going right there. And then I was just standing there, he's just standing there, not thinking, whatever.
And what did he say? What did he say?
And then he's kind of like, I need to say something. He's not saying anything. And he ordered a PBR. And so I get the idea to, okay, I'm going to bond with him over PBR and ask him how much a PBR is. And so I asked him, how much is PBR? Like, real cool, trying to be really cool. And he just looked at me really slow. Like, he turned his head really slowly. And just like, who's this guy? Why is he asking me? Like, and he just says, I don't know. That's it. And I was like, oh, that's all that's going to be said here. I just, nothing. And then I realized that he's not even paying for the beer. He maybe not actually even know how much it is, you know?
Because he's working.
So, yeah.
So, wait. So you're that haunted by that?
Kind of, yeah.
Look, Lee, I'm not even going to forgive you on this one. This one don't exist.
This one doesn't exist.
You said something dumb offhand like that. That's okay. It's not hurtful. It was just clunky.
You didn't live a lie in high school.
Yeah, exactly.
Or tell a kid he was bad at baseball.
Yeah. Lee, you're off the hook. I'm not even forgiving you because you're not guilty of anything. Go forth. Final call. Best show.
Howdy.
Oh, you almost got hung up on. You don't know how close.
I'm sorry.
Giving a one-word wonder. It's what we call it. One word, you get hung up.
Okay.
Go ahead. What do you want?
Actually, really quickly, the only two CDs I remember my mom not letting me buy were Nine Inch Nails and Zebrahead.
What was her beef with Zebrahead?
There was a lady in a bikini on the cover.
Ah, bikini lady.
Yeah.
Mom's least favorite. Simple.
Are you doing, is this Raw Dog now? Bikini Lady?
Bikini Lady.
You see that Bikini Lady? The toilet.
Bikini
underwear.
It's on the toilet again.
So, okay. What's your deal, Chief?
So I work at a company that places music in commercials.
Mm.
And about a year and a half ago, we got an assignment for an ad, and I wrote a song for it.
This better not be what I think it is. First of all, I'm going to say this. If you're lying to me, first of all, just tell me right now, does this have to do with me?
Yes.
First of all, I'm going to go first before that. Are you lying? Just be honest. I don't care if you're lying, if it's a comedy routine. I don't care. Is this a comedy routine?
I mean, it's a lie. I don't know if it's a comedy routine.
So you're going to pretend that you wrote the Google thing?
Yes.
Goodbye. Okay. That's what I need to hear. You're gone. What a dimwit. Shouldn't have spilled the beans like that. Miguel Bennington, you're part of the Four Timers Club.
I love it.
I want to say this. It is so much fun when you're here.
Oh, I have so much fun when I'm here.
I hope you'll come back.
I will.
Soon.
Five Timers.
Join the Five Timers Club. Please come back. It's so much fun when you're
here. Thank you so much for having me.
And people can check out Satellite, SiriusXM, Raw Dog 99.
Yep.
Bennington every weekday, noon Eastern time. If somebody yells at me for saying it's not Eastern Standard Time. It's ET, not EST. Sorry. What am I, Hugo? I'm running a watch, right? What am I, Hugo?
Good one.
Up in this piece? Thank you. You like that one, Mike? Thanks. Mike likes. What's that? Did I see Silence yet? No, I have a screener of it at home. Didn't watch it yet. I love it. What's his face is in it, right? Hannah? What's your problem, Hannah? He's a good actor. Adam Driver. Gail.
Yeah.
Meets Girls is the name of your hit podcast.
Yes.
3 episodes in. It's Gail Bennington talking to different female comedians.
Correct.
It's going to keep happening every 2 times a month.
Yes, for now. And then perhaps maybe weekly. We'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see where it's going.
And people can check that out either over at iTunes or places you get your podcasts over at, or at the Intero Bank.
Correct.
And you wrote an article on comedy, women in comedy in the age of Trump on Huffington Post. People can search that and find that.
Yes. Thank you so much, Tom.
It is always a pleasure when you're here. Thank you for coming down. And remember, oh, my pen broke. Bothers me now. It's my favorite pens. They're made out of old water bottles. Drive me nuts. I just want to say to everybody, you know, where's this music? Where is it? Dude, I would have fixed this. Got Martine out there. Martine's a good guy. He's doing everything he can. I don't know if Wingman's slowing him down. I think Wingman might be slowing him down. You're not slowing down Martine, are you, Wingman?
They're eating a lot of wings back there.
I think they ordered more. I just want to say, everybody, we're all doing what we can. It's hard to try to find happiness. So why you can't let the past, the things you did in the past, hold you back. Don't let the past hold you back. It's hard enough just being in the present and keeping your head above water every day. If you got something that you're burdened by, think about it. How big is it really? Was it a dumb thing that you've let build and build and mutate into something that's actually informing the way you think and the decisions you make? It could be. People don't realize how the things that shape their everyday decisions started so small, just a mere seed growing into an evil oak, slowing them down. So what you do, you go and you look in the mirror and you say to yourself, I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm a good person. I know maybe I said something stupid. Maybe I put my foot in my mouth, but you know what? I'm human, just like everybody else. I made a mistake. And I am going to move on from it. And I'm going to put my money where my mouth is, figuratively. And I'm going to add to the world rather than subtract from the world. The world is already a bad place, and you don't want to be somebody who's just a negative force or a neutral force. We need positive forces in the world, and this is the time for you to clean that slate, figure out who you are, and become the best version of yourself, and go forward doing the right thing in 2017 and beyond. We need good people. The more good people, the not the merrier. We need as many good people as we can, because there's true evil out there. So be a truly good force for good things. Don't let the small things grow into big things that hold you back. It is time for you, the best show listener, to say, I am okay. I'm a good person. I am forgiven. The best show is done. We will be back next week. Thanks for listening. Good night. See you in 7 days.